The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I am jacked up. It is the week before the regular season starts for the NFL. That was kind of an abrupt ending of that song. I figured it'd be playing a little bit more. Anyway, I am jacked up. Obviously, Patriots going down to Miami for Monday Night Football. And this is the kickoff to our complete in-season lineup for Patriots.com radio. Of course, we'll be here until 12, from 12 to 2, followed up by the Patriots Playbook with John Rook and the return of the expanded Pete Shepherd Show from 4 to 6. So, big lineup today.
With 12 Pete involved, to 6, it's always a big lineup.
Live radio. It's going to be awesome. I am so psyched up.
Best part is, I don't know if fans have noticed, there's a Patriots Monday going on right now on EEI, and we said, you ain't got to go home, but yous can't stay here in our studio. We kicked them out. Fans wanted PFW in Progress to remain on Tuesday, and we're here.
Well, Freddie Kirk throwing his weight around.
But you know, but for those of you who
the only guy who could have countered that would be Pete Shepherd.
For those of you who do like the Bill Belichick interview, which is good on EEI, we'll still have that on Patriots.com, and you can listen to it at your leisure.
See, that's the beauty.
Yeah.
With us here, they can still get the other stuff at their leisure, as you would put it.
Right.
But when they take over here, they lose out on us. Now it's the best of both worlds. Get your iPhone out, listen to it all.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
You're way better than Paul at that.
And
you only had to pause for 3 seconds before trying to find the sign to read.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, as always.
Did you ever wonder how exactly he got to be perfect?
Well, you know.
How God
it's
made
all
me.
In his mind, of course. But
speaking of perfect, I feel a little bit like Bill Belichick today in the 2009 season. I'm wired up.
Wired up.
Doesn't actually plug into anywhere. It's just dangling behind my butt. But
yeah, I mean, we're in full swing here because we're also in the process of filming the PFW show for Comcast Sportsnet, NSN, CSN, NNNEE.
NSN, CSN.
And then later tonight, we have a PR engagement at Waxy O'Connor's in Foxborough for Comcast, where I guess all their muckety-mucks come and they feed them boneless buffalo wings.
Really?
Oh, really?
Is that guaranteed?
Well, there's got to be food, and I'm going to be eating it. So I told my wife, don't cook for me. I won't be home. So,
I told her. He made that sound very like I'm the boss here. Don't cook tonight.
Like she wanted to.
No, I have to tell her when I'm coming or going. She's the boss.
It's a Flomax moment. What is it? That's his joke. Flomax and Viagra.
I don't know if I was coming or going.
Let's get into it.
All right.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
Roster moves.
Starting off with the roster's been finalized over the weekend. Paul Perillo.
Glued
to his computer and phone over the weekend, confirming a lot of reports.
Oh, that's very well done, Freddie.
But we do have 53. Is it 53?
Yes.
We actually have 53.
We have 53.
You never know.
It is 53, but I wouldn't say finalized.
No, it's far from finalized.
If I'm Danny Aiken, I wouldn't buy.
I wanted to ask you that. Starting with the least important thing, what do you think that the deal is with the long snapping situation?
I think they liked Aiken. You know, Bill talked about the fact that they pursued him as an undrafted player. He comes from Virginia. They probably have a little bit of a background there. The only thing I would say is everybody, you know, Gil Brandt had a comment that whichever team has Aiken in 13 years will be looking for their next long snapper. That's obviously how good he thinks he is. But were they saying that about Jake Ingram when he was the best long snapper in the draft and we got him?
Yes.
And he was gone a year and a half
later? Number one. Number two, another team had him and decided he wasn't good enough to make the team.
But now he's back again, right? Or is he not bad? I mean, he's bounced around a little bit.
No,
Danny
I mean
Aiken.
Oh, you mean Aiken.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not sitting there saying
it was a close battle.
What
like Matt Cassel and
Carson
Palmer.
What's the situation over in Buffalo? Did they get a guy that can do more than one thing?
To me, if there's a guy that, if you have him on your team and you don't have to worry about your long snapping situation for 13 years,
then why did they
win the battle.
Then why did they get rid of the long snapper that they had for years, the Patriots?
Money.
Right.
There's no money issue with Danny Aiken.
So that's my question.
No,
was there
money
any other
circumstances? No, he lost a close competition by all reports.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Danny Aiken's an undrafted rookie free agent.
He'll make his $387,000 or whatever.
The minimum. Whatever the absolute minimum you can make in the NFL, he'll make.
So he got beat out by another guy who is primarily a long snapper.
Could only possibly be making more money than him.
Right.
Couldn't be making less. He could only be making more. I don't even know who the guy is, but.
I don't either, but. The guy is a guy they wanted, a young guy they wanted. You know, Dearth was just a holdover.
Yep.
But a guy like Dearth or Bin, who was let go by, I mean, there'll be a veteran they can pick up in 2 weeks if they need to, if it doesn't work with Aiken.
Right.
I think that's what they're looking at. Dearth is a one-year thing if you keep a guy like him or Bin. Aiken, if Gil Brandt's right and you hit on him, okay, now you have your Lonnie Paxton. You know, that was the plan with Jake Ingram. Clearly it didn't work, but hopefully the next time through, maybe they hit it.
Okay.
I wonder if there are things, specific things, that Catula just couldn't do. Because beyond one really bad snap, admittedly, it was a terrible snap, I didn't really see a lot of glaring problems with him.
Even in practice? Remember, he had quite a few
mostly with Ninkovich in practice, because he missed a lot
struggled.
Of practice early.
Okay.
Ninkovich struggled a little bit. I don't think he is an every-down long snapper, despite the fact they say he could do it in an emergency. I think that's all it would be, is an emergency.
Right.
One time, two times.
You know, plus there's, you know, a chance, if Ninkovich was your number one, he could get hurt in the game playing his regular position,
and that's the biggest reason they don't want to do that, is because they don't want to risk guys. I mean, even, you know, he's a linebacker. Well, you know, he smashes his hand in between
Might
two helmets making a tackle,
right.
And then, you know, five minutes later, he's got to make a key snap.
I mean, you look at these linebackers, they end games with mangled hands
and
bruised hands, and there's a lot going on there taking on blocks.
So you really need that guy that specializes in it, and hopefully this will be it.
I agree with the premise, and Bill talked about it at length last week, but that position should be specialized.
Yep.
That's all the long snapper should do.
The other thing they did, seemingly for the, you know, at least for the season, is solidify that right guard position that was mangled. Dan Connolly out, Ryan Wendell out, who's another backup there, and Ornberger just couldn't do it. You don't trust him there.
Well,
so
he's on IR.
And he got put on IR,
And they got put on IR. So they brought in Brian Waters, who, are we surprised that he's gone from the Chiefs? Is this another case of money, or did he just get flat-out beat out?
Well, no. The story is they didn't get along, that they were oil and vinegar from the start. Oil and vinegar, oil and water?
He and Haley, or?
Haley, Pioli. He's a guy, didn't work out. He went to all their mandatory things, but lived at home, I believe, in Texas. Wherever he lives, he would stay there and work out there, wouldn't take part in the voluntary aspects of the off-season program. And apparently, from what I've read, had a meeting with Todd Haley early on the first year and kind of thought he was the bridge. You know, I'm a veteran guy from the old regime, and it turned into almost an argument.
Really?
And it went south from there, and they just did not mix. It was philosophical.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that that's the reason he's out, not because of performance.
Don't we run the same program basically here? I mean, I know Haley is, but it's the Pioli program.
But sometimes,
which I thought voluntary off-season workouts were important.
I know Fred's point, though.
Paul knows what I'm talking about.
Fred, you know, it was something that it was a personality conflict, not necessarily a physical
but
drop off. But there are also some stories that his play has dropped off and that he got heavy.
Yeah, but I don't
care
about
that. Him in the locker room yesterday. I was there, and he's a compact guard. He's nowhere near as big as Mankins, for example, but I mean, he's pretty, for a guard, he's pretty ripped. And very compact, very muscular. You know, he came into the league as a tight end.
Right.
Cowboys cut him
as a tight end.
As a tight end. And, then he got brought in to Kansas City, got converted as to a guard, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that's a great move, because of all the reasons you guys said, though. I mean, that was really a problem that Andy and I have really been fixated on for our pregame social. We've been talking a lot about the right guard situation the last 2 weeks, and that to me was something that was really sticking out as a potential problem.
And don't you think this answered, we talked about, I think last week on the pregame social, we talked about, even if Conley's healthy, are you okay with Conley?
Right.
I think this was answered, they're not. They wanted to upgrade over Conley.
Yeah.
Now, that's this signing, this $5.5 million signing of a five-time Pro Bowler. They weren't just looking for Conley to be okay.
Right.
They wanted to solidify that position.
And by giving him that money, they're not looking for Waters to just come in here and provide, you know, little help.
No, you start at Conley as your floor if
right,
you're Waters.
Right.
You have to be
last year
as good
was Stephen Neal, and Stephen Neal was pretty good.
Well, but know. I also, if you look at the one thing I really like about the resume of Brian Waters, I don't care about the Pro Bowl. I don't know if he was a Pro Bowl guard last year or not.
Yeah.
But the fact that 3 of the last 4 years, he started 16 games. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy to line up next to Dan Copen and Sebastian Vollmer every week this year. That's something Stephen Neal didn't bring to that position.
That's
he was
true.
A good player,
that's true.
But
that's true.
You never knew when he was going to be out of the lineup. And with the lack of backups they have, even if Wendell and Conley eventually, I don't feel great about either of those guys playing 8 games, so to speak. I think that's important. Get him out there for 14, 15 weeks and have him out there every week.
And the one thing that I think is worth keeping an eye on with him is he's 34 now, I believe. You're getting up there a little bit. So,
but that's why I mean I like the fact that
now if he,
16, 16,
exactly.
16, 15 the last 4 years.
Even if he gives you a 12 or a 13 this year and you have to go with Conley for 3.
I'm okay with that.
Right.
That's okay.
Conley for 15 I don't like.
Hopefully it's a nagging thing here or there and not something that all of a sudden he gets hurt and then you're without him for the remainder of the season at some point. But
it's Andy's, a good solid
Andy's right. I think when you start taking guys with starting experience and you make them backups – suddenly you have depth. Dan Conley, to me, is a heck of a backup interior lineman.
Sure.
Maybe not the greatest starting right guard. But in terms of that spot, it's probably as good, if not better, than Russ Hochstein was.
Yeah, I would say
similar. Back in the day.
But I think if Russ Hochstein had to start, the more you saw him start, the more you,
exactly.
the less you liked him.
So I like that situation now. That was really something worrisome.
Yep. By the way, again, this probably eliminates my Marcus Cannon option.
Yeah. Well, right, I stuck with that whole... It was injuries. If Marcus Cannon had to play a role this year, it was going to be because of injuries.
Yeah, but I thought Marcus Cannon, Dan Conley, injured, even healthy. If Waters is healthy, Marcus Cannon may not even come off PUP. May
right.
go right revert to IR PUP.
Yep.
The other thing I wanted to say is I also think it's interesting that they signed him now and didn't wait a week. You know, and maybe that's because Conley and Wendell are so hurt.
The guaranteed
but
contract.
They could have waited a
that's
week.
That's a great point.
They clearly wanted Waters to be a part of this team this year. Don't take the chance that he signs elsewhere, whatever, even though he said, you know, he liked this situation. He had other offers. I think it's telling that it happens while they have to guarantee his salary.
Good point.
Thanks, Fred.
Two of the other notable cuts over the weekend, Brandon Tate and Brandon Merriweather. Merriweather.
It was a good day for Brandon's.
Yeah.
For New England.
Considering.
Brandon Dedrick went to PUP.
We know a lot of people, you know, thought that this was a long time coming, but considering the situation at safety, were you at all surprised that they cut Brandon Merriweather?
Yes. I was very much surprised. All the radio hits I had done leading up to it, I said, I think he's going to stay just because they cut Sanders. You don't have any proven bodies back there other than Chung. Clearly they decided. I still don't get the Sanders one. If you were going to cut Merriweather, I don't know why you cut James Sanders, but it did. It surprised me.
If you went by everything that we were seeing with our eyes throughout training camp, throughout the preseason games, it's not surprising. However, the fact that they did it with no real other safeties on the roster other than Chung had to be a surprise. I mean, everything that your football mind and your experience with Bill Belichick was telling you, this guy is in trouble. A guy that we thought the same way of, Andy and I talked about him a lot on the pregame social the last couple of weeks, Jonathan Wilhite. We thought the same thing. Jeez, every time they take any kind of a meaningful rep, Wilhite's not out there. and he got cut. Well, the same thing was happening with Merriweather as the preseason went along.
Right.
He was less and less involved with the quote-unquote first group. But, I mean, even right down to the last game, after the game, Andy asked Bill, should we read anything into guys that were playing late in the game? And, of course, Bill sort of deflected it.
Well,
but
maybe not. He said, no, read into how they play.
How they.
So maybe he was saying, you've seen for 3 years the guy stinks. He's playing there because he stinks, and I'm going to cut him. Yeah. Maybe he was being totally honest. Watch the guy and how he plays. He's cut-worthy. That makes him cut-worthy.
I do like to look at this as a bit of a vindication for Paul and Andy as
well. Absolutely.
Not you, of course.
No.
Who told me that Brandon Merriweather was as good as Matt Light. He's a run-of-the-mill
starting
caliber.
Well, here's what I will say. The only thing I can say about to defend myself is I always said that
I was wrong.
He was a Patriot.
Look at the other look at the other safeties in the league, and if you compare, other than the Polamalos, he's probably average. The minute he was cut, he was picked up by the Bears.
First of all, there was less competition for him than there was James Sanders. And secondly, Bill Belichick decided a second-year undrafted player and an oft-injured special teamer were better than him.
Better options.
Forget the rest of the league.
But those other guys
are still in the league. It tells you the state of Brandon Merriweather's talent and production.
Brandon Merriweather is still in the league.
But he wasn't for a day.
Yeah, for a day. And then
but
the
those
Bears
other guys
side.
That you think aren't any good, that he's better than, didn't get cut.
Well, no, I said they're all average. But what is the
average guys didn't lose their job even for a minute.
He didn't get pushed out because of talent behind him. No. He got pushed out because he had reached the end.
I also think that he got pushed out not just because of talent, but I think of willingness to learn and
that's part of the package we criticize.
I understand that. I understand that. And I think that's true.
So just say you were wrong.
What do you think? People who use the term, you know, watch what happened to Baltimore the rest of that game after he almost beheaded Todd Heap. Well, obviously that's fiction. Because if Belichick thought that there was even a sliver of truth to that, he wouldn't have given him away for nothing.
Right.
He would have at least kept him through the end of his rookie contract.
I agree.
So he could have gotten a draft pick
I think the guy was regressing. He wasn't getting better. And he hadn't gotten to a level that even if you stay there, you're good enough. So I think that's
why
he
some of the stuff your boy Jimmy said about him?
No.
He was fine on game day. Fine guy on game day. It was the other days of the week that you didn't know what you were going to get.
Wow. I'd hate to see how bad that was based on the fact that I don't think he was fine on game day.
Oh, I thought he sucked on it.
But let's talk about the safeties that are left besides Chung.
Barrett.
What does this say about Barrett? He talked in the locker room a little bit yesterday.
Nice guy, by the way. I had a nice talk with him
Thursday
night.
People were asking him, what do you think you bring to the table, blah, blah, blah. One of the things that he thought that he brings is speed. And we saw a little bit of that against the Giants, kind of making some tackles from long range and taking better angles, at least, than we've seen from Brandon Merriweather.
Well, I think we've all lumped him into bigger body, build a hybrid role, linebacker. We saw it on the practice field, playing some roles at the line of scrimmage, sub packages where he's essentially an outside linebacker. And I think he's saying, I'm a safety. I'm an athlete. You know, I have the speed to make plays, too, and I have to have that speed. If you're a starting caliber safety in the NFL, which is what it looks like he's going to be to start the year, you need to be able to cover. You need to be able to play more than 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage, especially in this defense where Chung is the guy that's going to be up in the box making a lot of plays flying around.
Yeah, I don't feel great with Chung as the coverage safety. Yeah,
Barrett, as we saw in the preseason game, Barrett was 20 yards deep. He was single high. He was the deep center fielder. He was everything you want to call him. Yeah. He's going to have to prove he can run and make tackles and make plays.
Now, Barrett was hurt a little bit in the beginning of training camp, so we didn't really get to see a lot of him until late.
And that's the hard thing is because
I've seen him practice like twice.
We get a good read on players, especially players that we don't know a lot about and don't have a lot of background on during training camp. Because that's the only time we get to see every guy play in a lot of different roles and get a lot of reps. Well, we didn't get a chance to do that with Josh Barrett.
And beyond that, everything we've heard about him is he's a great kickoff coverage guy.
Right.
What about defense? Because that's where he's going to have to play.
So we don't really know much about him. But
Bill doesn't know much about him.
Well, that's my question is, do you think that they're settling and this is what we've got?
No.
Do you think they had some type of indication that we think this guy can do it, so we're comfortable getting rid of James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather?
I think this could be a lot like the last time they cut a bunch of safeties before the year. The week one starter may not be the week 2, 3, and 15 starter.
I think you're going to see a veteran.
I think sharper. As soon as they don't have to guarantee the contract because he's injured and you have issues and questions.
So barring bringing somebody from the outside in, if things turn out okay with safety this year, luck? You think they're just lucky?
It depends how it happens.
Right.
Well, I'm just asking.
I think they have a couple plans in mind. I think they say Barrett might be able to do it. They certainly can't feel overly confident that he can do it, but I think there's a hope that he can do it.
If Josh Barrett went out there and he proved to be, you know, a starting caliber safety, that's not luck.
Okay.
I don't think that's luck at all. Now, if he all of a sudden turns in like a an all-pro season and he gets like 10 picks and return, well, there's a little element of luck to that. Because
right.
if you knew that was going to happen, you wouldn't have cut Merriweather the day before,
right.
you know, on the
right.
last cut. You would have said, this is my guy. He's good.
Don't you think they probably have, okay, Barrett's our week one A plan. Week two B plan is Darren Sharper once we don't have to guarantee or whatever. Week three C plan is, you know, Dowling shows me a little something or whatever. I
the
think they probably
too.
Have a couple.
I think the other kid too, Molden. Ooh. I think he, unfortunately, don't have a lot of background with the
right.
player. He hasn't been here very long. We didn't get a chance to see him, but
he was competitive.
I thought he was physical. I thought he played corner very physically. That's what you need to be as a safety. You can't be a finesse safety.
Right.
You know, so maybe he's a little bit bigger. Maybe he can, I mean, he's not as big as Dowling, I don't think, but he does play with a physical, you know, based on my first impression of him against the Giants the other night. I thought he played pretty well considering.
All right, so then the other cut, Brandon Tate. I said during the curse words during the game, I think Belichick just cut Brandon Tate. I mean, he was that bad in the game, you know. And but what is that? What are we left with at wide receiver, and what are we left with at kick returner?
Fine. I don't think it affects either all that dramatically. He had faded. I mean, after his two touchdowns last year, one of which was that hopping a skip, bouncing ball where the timing was all thrown off, he wasn't that good at returns. Punts, we've seen him just hop around in space. And
he might be the worst punt return I've ever seen.
We're going to find out because apparently the Bengals are going to use him there on both kicks and punts.
I think they're crazy.
Wide receiver, he's never been a factor. I mean, they at the very least, they added Ocho Cinco. So you have a veteran guy who will not be a factor on the offense, who you feel a little bit better about.
Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a loss.
Did Slater just flat out beat him out?
I don't think they're in the same position, role, anything.
No?
No. I think Matthew Slater is on this team because he can cover kicks. Everything else is gravy.
And he did have you know, a nice little preseason for himself as a receiver. Maybe if you see a desperate situation like you did, I think it was 2 years ago with Sam Aiken, you know, maybe if he has to get out there, they'll say, well, you know, really, Tate hasn't developed. Is it any worse having Slater out there combined with all the things that Slater does that Tate doesn't? You know,
right.
Tate was a returner, but he wasn't necessarily a special teams player. I know that doesn't seem to make sense, but
right.
you know what my point
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Whereas Slater
Slater's
does cover.
A core guy.
Yeah.
He plays on all four special
right.
teams units.
Do you think he would ever return kicks? I mean, they've tried him back there.
He's been the up guy. I don't yeah. want to see that role for him. I think Edelman is a guy that probably needs – he needs to show he can stay healthy, though.
Right. That's my problem
so
with
that's,
Edelman.
That's a little bit of a concern. I think Edelman could be a guy – and I think they have some other intriguing guy. I think you might see Shane Vereen back there returning kicks too, Freddie. Don't forget about him. You know, we haven't seen a lot of him because of injuries as well. You know, who knows? Maybe even a guy like Darius Butler, who's still on the, you know, despite, you know, reports to the contrary, he's still on this football team. I don't think anybody other than PFW had him making the final 53. Not that we're tooting our own horn, because believe me, we didn't get a whole lot else right with our final 53. I think he's a guy that has some athleticism and looked like Bill was looking for ways to get the ball in his hands a little bit more this summer than I remember
yeah.
the previous two camps.
Yep.
So he's probably at best a fourth or fifth corner now. So he really doesn't have I don't think he has a defined role, unless Bodden's injury is more severe. I mean, we haven't seen Bodden in a while now.
Right.
Good news is he didn't go on IR at the final cuts.
Right, if everybody's healthy, Butler is probably a fourth or fifth corner. Maybe you put him back there and return kicks.
Sure.
All right,
be an athlete.
If you're just joining us, PFW in Progress will be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls.
I mean, anybody can take a knee in the end zone.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 and your emails at webradio@patriots.com. We're down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, and today is the kickoff of our in-season lineup for Patriots.com Radio. PFW in Progress from 12 to 2, the Patriots Playbook with John Rook from 2 to 4, and the return of the expanded Pete Shepherd Show from 4 to 6. So it should be a really good week and good day of Patriots.com Radio. We're very excited.
Pete has some answering to do, right? Aren't people worked
up? Yeah, people are upset at Pete because after the Jets debacle, he didn't show up. He didn't do his show. And, of course, you know.
I should send an email into the show.
Prior to,
hey, you.
Prior to the show,
year?
You know, Pete was Pete, very confident that the Patriots are going to handle the Jets. And well, I think we all were, based on what they did the game before and
Yeah.
But
I certainly thought they were going to
win that game. You know, he had some splaining to do, and he didn't splain.
He went hightailing.
So we'll see. We'll see how what kind of welcome he gets from the listeners.
Oh, they'll love
good news
him.
Out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
By the third sentence, he'll be saying 16-0, and this team's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and people will be back on his
Joe Hijimi. Yeah.
I can't believe that man is a radio personality.
Well, he's not. But we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. With the lockout and everything, it was kind of a different offseason. You know, we've been through a lot of week prior to the first game. Any different for you guys? You know, the feeling going into this first game?
I feel like a player being asked a dumb question in front of his locker.
Because it feels a little bit different to me. Like, we didn't have, like, the... I don't know. It's just with the hurricane and everything like that and the way we're doing things differently with the games this year, to me, there is a different feeling going into this game. I think I'm going to build up to this game. I don't have the same feeling that I would the Tuesday before the first regular season
game. Well, it's a Monday, so you need to pace your build-up. You don't want to peak on Sunday and then lose on Monday.
It is a Monday night game, but it doesn't feel any different for you guys?
Well, the personal stuff that you mentioned about how we're covering it.
I'm jacked up.
I feel differently about that because normally I'd be in that mode where we have to get ready to travel.
Right.
I'm looking forward to watching those Sunday games, which if we were traveling, we wouldn't get a chance to see.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to Thursday night and looking forward to the Sunday games. But in terms of the season itself, it feels the same to me. Once we started training camp and had the first 3 or 4 days, it felt the exact same to me. I don't know how you felt about it, Andy. Did you feel the same?
Should I take the Matt Light route and say, it's a little tighter in my pants? And he would always have like a stupid comeback for it.
Well, he would talk
about
his meditation and whatnot.
Right. To me, they're all unique in their own way, but in some ways, they're all the same.
Okay, Bill.
No, they're all.
I don't know.
Unknowns.
I feel a little rushed for some reason. Maybe because I got a lot of stuff going on. But
the TV show today just has you all.
No,
off
I got
track.
A million things going on, but
I got a lot of emails.
I just feel a little rushed. So,
but you have actually an extra day. It's Monday.
Yeah. No, we're just all not just the shows and the paper, but other things
too.
Hey,
Paul. Guess who, Fred? Can I say it on the air?
What's that?
About what we were talking about earlier, that you may do an interview?
No.
Oh.
Well, you can if you want.
He's doing an interview with Sports Business Journal about the pregame social.
Nice.
They're interviewing teams about what initiatives they're doing this year.
Nice.
So it's not just us.
No, but it's the pregame social. It's getting it out there in the business world.
Yes.
The SBDJ. Whatever it is on the little
SBJ.
Icon.
SBJ.
Sports Business Journal.
What about BJ?
SBJ.
What?
It's a special. Sorry.
Yes. All right. So earlier you were talking about, or maybe you weren't talking about. I can't forget. I can't remember. Might have been talking about it.
I can't forget. I can't remember.
Might have been talking about it off the air. But Randy Moss, Tom Brady did an interview with EEI this morning and started talking about Randy Moss and the
Twitter is a flitter
and said,
really?
He would love to have. I think we might have the sound for that. Kevin, do you have that sound?
He didn't.
Why don't you play that? And we'll talk about that.
Tom, Randy Moss told a reporter down in West Virginia that he would only come back to play for one team only, and that's the New England Patriots. Would that surprise you if someday you were thrown to him again?
Would it surprise me? I mean, you never know in the NFL. I mean, I talked to Randy just before training camp started, so look, no one's, I love Randy. He's one of the greatest receivers in the history of the game, one of the greatest players I've ever had a chance to play with, and I love the guy. So, unfortunately, I don't make personnel decisions. That's, I'd still have all my friends here. Troy would still be here. David Patton would still be here. Dion would never have left. But, I've seen so many guys move on over the years and then guys come back. So, who knows? Who knows? You never know what situation will be in here, next week for that matter.
But you think he's playing against somewhere? He's your age, I believe.
Yeah, he's 34, 35.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I can't get into his brain at all, but I love the guy and he's a great friend of mine, and if he ever did have the opportunity to come back, then you know, I'd certainly welcome him with open arms.
All right. Well, that was Tom Brady talking about Randy Moss. What do you think? See, you know, it's funny, but, you know, now pretty much the roster set as far as receivers go. And now I think there is a possibility he could come back.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on that answer?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Twitter, people
based
are
on
like
that answer,
counting,
I would be completely stunned.
People are counting like, how many times he said friend, how many times he said love.
Brady
doesn't
I thought
know.
That was as diplomatic as you could be without saying there's no
And did they really
chance.
Expect him to say that, no effing chance?
I mean,
what's he going to say?
I guess I heard it differently than you said Twitter is all a
yeah,
flutter about
they're
it?
All, but it's like
Fred,
a main topic. NFL
Fred
sent
feels
out
the
a
same
tweet.
Way.
Randy Moss's return to New England would mean blank for Chad Ochocinco, like it was their question of the day. It's a hot
right,
top.
Right.
And Chad Ochocinco immediately retweeted it saying, single coverage.
Well, here's why I think now
Let
there
me tell
might
you something.
Be a
He's going to have plenty of single coverage this season.
You know, the reason
wow,
why I think there's an outside chance is because now Moss really doesn't have any other alternatives. He said he was going to retire. You know,
he
and,
did retire.
You know, so now if he comes back, really it is to just play the season and just see what we can do together, how far we can go. And I think that's the situation the Patriots would bring him back in.
But isn't that what we always said?
No,
if he came crawling back.
But he wanted a multiple year contract from any other team, and when he didn't get it, he decided, well, I'm going to retire. I think that's, as far as the Patriots go, that would be out of his mind. It would just be to see what as he can do on this team. And I think under those circumstances, the Patriots might take him back. Then you add on if Ochocinco, in fact, doesn't really get going and there doesn't seem to be a viable third option. I think
we'll
now,
add another receiver whose skills have diminished and can't fill
well,
the role.
But at least with Moss, you know he knows the system. He works well with Brady. From day one, he'll be able to contribute.
Will he?
I think so.
Because if he's only asked to run down the field and he can no longer run down the field fast enough to be a target?
Well, I don't – yeah, I mean, let's be fair. Even when he was here, that's not all he did. You know, he went over the middle and he caught some slants and –
A couple times.
Yeah. I mean, he's done it.
He ran down the field.
And he can do
he
it.
He can run outs. The middle and the slants.
He
and
ran
stuff.
Across the middle and made that great catch.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
Know, you can remember him because.
While he was trying not to get hit.
Yeah. Right. But you can remember him because they didn't happen that often.
So, I
And
think
by it, the way, you have guys that can run over the middle. You have guys that can run outs.
I think
outs.
It's very slim, but I think 2 weeks ago I would have said no chance.
I
now
the
I think there's a 10%
that.
Chance.
Yeah. I always thought it was a slim chance, and I think it's
I won't
slimmer.
Rule anything out when it comes to this team because Belichick has proven time and time again he's willing and able to do the unconventional. I would be floored. I don't think it ended well. I don't think they want any part of that back. I think they've both been extremely diplomatic about how it ended here.
Right.
And I think there's a ton of stuff that we will never know how bad it really was, but I think it was really bad, and I don't see it happening again.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. No one's told me that. I have no inside information about that. I think it was much, much worse at the end than people know. Just my opinion.
All right.
And I'd be stunned. And based on that answer, I think Tom all but said, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, I think that Moss is so mercurial.
Now, with all that, you know, probably sign him next week.
Right.
When Ocho goes out and catches two passes for 12 yards, they'll say, we need to make a change here.
Right. I think Moss is so hot and cold, I think that, you know, if you can get him in that time frame and mind frame where he will just focus on football, you get that out of him, and then it's over. And I think, you know, to Paul's point, I think that's – I don't know how bad it was, but I saw that they – realize that this guy's starting not to focus on what he needs to do here. Let's cut our losses.
But isn't that always a possibility?
Of course it is.
That's why I think it won't happen.
And you'd have him around Taylor Price, which he could adversely affect his development. You'd have him around Ochocinco, which is grenade and gasoline together. You never know when that's going to make things worse.
I know,
but you could sit there and say, well, we have all the leverage, and you might.
But that's irrelevant on game day or
I mean,
at any point.
Because if you really want to get down to it, the Patriots had all the leverage last season.
Right.
He was entering the last year of a deal.
It wasn't a money thing, though, Paul, I don't think. It was more
exactly.
His mind frame. Right.
He wants to do things.
I know, but don't you think his mind frame has changed?
No.
No. It might be for a few weeks. But
and for right now.
Right.
But when he gets on the field and the ball goes to Ocho three times in a row or whatever.
Or they keep throwing a Welker underneath, and he doesn't get his chances to make plays.
I,
It'll take a few. It might take a few games, but it'll come back.
I think he'd be so appreciative to be on the back on the Patriots that he'll do whatever the hell they ask.
I think you're out of your mind.
I think that's insane based on the first 12 years of his career.
Well, I mean, you know, he wasn't.
He's proven that he's only interested in Randy Moss.
Yeah, no, he has, but I think things might be a little different right now. How many times are you going to say that?
I think if he came back, they would be initially, but I think at some point it would come back.
And do you need him?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, no. You don't.
I mean, I don't think this is a desperation mode right now.
But he could come back at any point. And like I said, I think provided he's not sitting eating Fritos all day and slugging down Cokes, I think that he could come and contribute immediately.
But see, I don't think you need him right now. I don't think it's desperation.
No, you don't.
And then I think at whatever point you needed him, you've now given him leverage. You've now, if you go crawling to Randy Moss because Welker got hurt and Branch got hurt, now all of a sudden he has leverage because he knows you need him. You're crawling to him.
That's a good point.
So it's never a good situation in my mind.
That's a good point. That's a good point. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Lou in the Cooler writes in. Now, I don't know if Lou in the Cooler means in the jail or if he works at a restaurant and he's just in the cooler. So
the walk-in fridge.
Anyway, he says, hey, guys, love the show. I've been listening forever. It was funny this week with Merriweather being released and everyone in the media being surprised, but from listening to the show, I felt like I already knew what everyone else didn't. I'm writing this email to find out when we're going to get a decent iPad app for the Patriots website. The iPhone app is cheesy on the iPad. Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be this month we will be releasing our iPad app for the Patriots, and I'll give everyone listening a preview of this. The iPad app will include all the PFW content as well as all the content from Patriots.com, all the video, all the audio, all the stories. So I just want to tell people right now so people don't say, oh, you didn't tell us this before. It will be a paid-for app. You're going to have to pay for this app. However, it's going to come with every article from Patriots Football Weekly. So for those people that are on the fence about, oh, should I subscribe to Patriots Football Weekly, if you have an iPad, you might want to hold off for a few weeks when we release the iPad and just buy that app, because that will come with all the PFW content as well as everything you get on Patriots.com. You'll get the live radio. You get the live Bill Belichick. You'll be able to listen to this show, for example, and put it in the background and do everything else on the app that you want to do. So it's going to be really cool. It's coming out in a matter of weeks. We're very excited about it. So heads up, guys. Even if you were thinking of buying us lunch, you might want to hold your money and buy the app.
Please.
Yeah.
Our futures may depend on it.
Yeah. So we're really excited about it for all those people that are wondering about iPad apps. There's your answer. Now, there's this other guy here that's emailing in. He emails into the pregame social a lot.
Bill
Jones is very unhappy because he has to go to Facebook. Bill. First, I'll read his email, then I'll answer it. He says, first, I'd like to address my pregame social issue. I've been trying to stream it off my BlackBerry 9300. I have T-Mobile, and when I go to the Facebook site, it tells me to either sign up for Facebook or download the Facebook app. I don't want to do either. Secondly, I heard you guys bad-mouthing me, and I don't like it. I've been your most loyal fan besides calling in and buying lunch. I'm a big fan of the show, PFW in Progress, would like to hear more. I would be emailing in and listening live if I could. The last few times I have just emailed when I knew the show was on. All right, how about a game? So he's got a game, but first let me address Bill's problem. You don't have to sign up for Facebook. If you're on a computer and you just go to facebook.com/New England Patriots, you don't have to have a Facebook account.
Well, he did just say he's on his BlackBerry.
Right. So don't do it on your BlackBerry. Do it on your computer. Do it on your laptop. And I promise you, you don't have to have a Facebook account.
Is this the guy that keeps swearing at us?
Yes.
Yeah, he told me to go F myself.
Second of all,
70 million times.
I don't know what the capabilities of a BlackBerry 9300 is, but if you go to Patriots.com on your phone or download the Patriots app, you can listen to the pregame social live from the Patriots app. There is no joining Facebook required. So, you know, get off of that, Bill. That's not a requirement to listen to the pregame social. You can do it from either Patriots.com on mobile, you can do it from the Patriots.com app, or you can just do it from your laptop by going to Facebook.com/New England Patriots. There's no Facebook account required. So please stop moaning. And he sends in like six emails swearing and
Telling me to go F myself. My mom listens to the pregame social now.
Threatening to kill people and, you know, it's just terrible. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we could have him arrested for that.
All right, Bill, here's your game. Ready? It's a comparison of the Pats roster versus the Jets roster. Offensive line versus offensive line. Whose roster would you take? Jets or Patriots?
That's a wash.
Oh, Patriots easy.
Nah.
No?
That's a wash.
Receivers.
Certainly has gotten a lot better with Brian Waters makes Patriots.
And Damian Woody retired, you know, although he wasn't that great.
Hold on a second. Andy and I got to discuss something here.
What do you have to do? Where are you going? What's going on here?
I got to go do an interview with Zoltan Mesko, I believe, and I need a mic.
Oh, Comcast doesn't bring mics now?
You could probably address this with Comcast,
okay.
Not Andy.
All right. So anyway, Paul, while you're unhooking your mic there, which group of running backs would you rather have, the Patriots or the Jets?
I think I would go with the Jets there.
You like LaDainian Tomlinson? I can see how this is all going.
Sean Green. You don't think Sean Green's better than Benny?
Maybe. Didn't prove it last year.
It's not about one guy. It's about the group.
I think the group is better. Now, by midseason, I might change my mind. If Vereen and Ridley are big elements.
I'll take the Patriots, Fred. I'm with you.
How about defensive line, Paul?
That would be the Patriots. Right now, that's a walkover.
How about linebackers? Now, this is a little tougher.
I got to go with the Jets there. Patriots have one player, I think, that will play for the Jets.
Right. I admit that. Secondary. Well, I think that, at this point.
I got to go with the Jets
yeah,
there.
I agree with that. He left out coach and quarterback because that's obvious.
Blowouts there.
I posed this question because.
Now, you can make an argument for running backs for the Patriots.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I posed this question because it was brought up a few times last year in the Jets' favor, and now I really think. We have the more talented roster. I think it's Patriots have come back, no doubt. F the Jets and the pregame social as long as I can't stream it. And Bill is in San Diego. I thought in San Diego you're supposed to have, you know, nice demeanor. The weather's nice. You're not supposed to be so nasty. All right, let's turn to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And Mike from Florida has been holding on. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Hey, Fred, give me a minute before you hang up on me here to ask some questions. Gentlemen, a few reporters have been saying, and I believe erroneously, I'd like for you to clear it up for me, that several of the Patriots, this is before the final cutdown, had a chance to go on PUP, but I believe that PUP is only for players who have never practiced during the season. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is. Okay, the only players that were eligible for PUP all wound up there.
Okay.
That was Dedrick, Falk, and Brace.
Right. So even if you practice once, you're not eligible.
Correct.
That's correct.
So anybody that was reported, I hadn't seen any reports like that, but you are right.
See, if that wasn't the case, then that would be that IR thing that people were calling for, you know, to be a partial season IR. That would be it if you were allowed to do that, but you're not.
Right. All right, and then can you clear up? I was looking at the transaction wires or whatever on NFL.com, and some players are released, some are waived, some are cut, and some are waived injured. Why would they designate such differences like that?
Okay, waived is you don't have the service time in the league yet. If you have fewer than 4 years of accrued service time, you would have to clear through waivers. That's why you see all the young guys that get released that – teams want to get to their practice squads, they have to clear waivers before you can do that. If you have, like Brandon Merriweather, this is his fifth year, so he had 4 years of accrued NFL seasons under his belt. He didn't have to pass through waivers. He was immediately an unrestricted free agent as soon as the Patriots released him. Released and cut, that's the same thing. That's just tomato, tomato, whatever you want to call it. Now, when you release or waive a guy injured, that means that the guy is, just what it says, the guy is hurt at the time, and that usually means that you've come to some sort of injury settlement with that player, because technically you're not allowed to release a player just, you know, because of injury.
Right.
So if there's a young guy that's in camp with you and say he breaks his leg, and you don't necessarily want to keep him and put him on IR, but you don't want him on the team anymore. You have to do something with him. You'll make some sort of arrangement where you pay him a certain amount of money and he's free to leave. It happens usually with guys that have less severe injuries that a team might not. Let's say a guy has a, you know, a hamstring pull, but Belichick doesn't really want him on the team anyway. He pulled his hamstring, so you can't just cut him flat out. What you do is you waive him injured, you give him some sort of financial settlement, but now he's eligible to play on another team that season. That's the difference there.
Yeah, that makes sense as opposed to IR. And then your opinion on a couple of things. Just me as a nerd who watches every play of preseason more than once, I thought that Eric Moore flashed, you know, quite a bit compared to, like, Cunningham and some of the other outside guys. What's your opinion on him? And then additionally, Tarpanian. I don't think he played one snap in preseason. Is that correct? And what did you see of in training camp of this guy, and why did he make the team?
Well, Andy's been hot on Tarpanian for
I don't get Tarpanian.
No?
I don't get it at all. He barely played. You're absolutely right. He missed a lot of the preseason with injuries. I know that they liked him coming out because they gave him a little bit of money. And I think he was their highest paid undrafted free agent, according to Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe. Bedard is the guy, Freddie, who's really been on Tarpanian.
Yeah, okay.
Good friend of the show, Greg Bedard. He was all over Tarpanian from the start. Not really sure I see it. Now, with Jermaine Cunningham, Mike, he's done nothing.
Well, he's really talking about Eric Moore.
Yeah, but Cunningham is the guy that made the team over him.
I thought he seemed like he was a much more physical, faster guy than Cunningham.
Yeah, I was a little, you know, I just think that Moore got caught in a numbers game. There was just no room for him. Too early to pull the plug on a second-round pick in Cunningham. I think there's enough potential there that he deserved to stay, but there just wasn't room for 11 guys up front.
Right, good deal. Hey, guy. Oh, one last thing. Why do you think? I mean, we had so many players picked up by other teams. Couldn't we? I gotta imagine we could have got a sixth or a seventh round pick for a few of them, especially Merriweather. What isn't? I mean, seventh round pick's better than nothing, right?
Well, it's a good question. Thanks for the call, Mike. I've heard a lot of people. You know, why couldn't they get anything for these guys? I'm not sure. At cutdown time, you don't see a lot of trades for draft picks at cutdown time. You know, teams are kind of.
Merriweather's
like,
the only guy that they could have gotten something for.
Yeah. I mean, teams kind of take their chances. They realize that, you know, the guy's going to get cut if they're offering him up for a trade. I might as well just wait. They could be competing with other teams for him, but chances are not a lot because remember, you know, you're talking about limited spots available for every team. You know, they've just cut down to 53, and if they bring in a Brandon Merriweather, they got to make another move. You know, to bring in, you know, to make room for him. So it's not just that easy for teams to make those trades at that time.
Yeah, no, you're right, because everybody is trying to sift through, and that's why it's the time of year that you can do it. And I think that falls into play with when a guy gets released. I think people fall into the trap of that first cut means those are the guys that they didn't even come close to making the team. That's not really true. More so, it's guys, they know where they're going to cut. Like James Sanders, A, you do it as a little bit of a service to the guy, you know, someone who's played for you for 6 years and has been a good soldier for you. You get him out there with a much smaller amount of players that are available now, and look what happened. Sanders immediately had two teams bidding for his services. But the bigger reason to me is the young guys, you don't want them sitting out there on waivers that long. You want that to be as small as time as possible. And even as it was, the Patriots, I think, were interested in bringing a couple of guys back that they couldn't. In the tight ends, definitely Yateman. All indications were that they tried to get Yateman back to the practice squad, but Miami put a claim in on him. Lee Smith got a claim put in him by Buffalo. You know, Brandon Tate got claimed by Cincinnati. So I think not that Tate was a practice squad guy anyway, but the practice squad guys, it was tough this year.
Yeah. All right, that's the first 48 minutes of our show here in the first week of the in-season schedule for Patriots.com.
And what
radio.
Kind of radio show doesn't take the break at the 48-minute mark?
That's right. Well, now 49.
Okay.
But we are going to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be here until 2 o'clock with more exciting emails and calls.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
bag!
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Pick and Hotline. And web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're coming to you live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios down here in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Tim in Baltimore writes in. He says, hey, PFW.
Timmy.
I was shocked to learn that Belichick allowed NFL Films to make a documentary about him. Did any of you know that this film was in the works last year? I did.
It was 2 years ago.
It was, yeah, they actually wired up Bill for the 2009.
I knew it, but not because of anything I had seen. Someone in the organization had told me.
Oh,
about
is that right?
It. Yeah.
Why didn't you tell anyone else?
I thought everybody knew about it. When I know something, Freddie.
Yeah.
I make the bold assumption that I'm not the first one to hear it.
I did not know. I mean, NFL Films is here a lot.
I also didn't know exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, Ken Rogers, NFL Films, is sort of like our guy down at NFL Films. And he's here a lot. They're doing a lot of filming. Obviously, when it looks like we're in the playoffs, we start to ramp that up just in case. But I had no idea that they had Bill wired up for the season.
I knew that they were here and wiring him a lot, but I didn't know what they were doing it for.
Right.
So, and I'm not sure how many people in the organization knew what they were doing it for.
Yeah, no, and it shows you how discreet NFL Films was. I really didn't notice them. You know?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, we talked about it a little bit last week. I'm hoping that we see more of what was in the trailer, and the trailer wasn't the best part.
Right.
You know, I'm hoping that's the kind of peek behind the curtain that we can look forward to.
Yeah, I that's going to be really cool.
That's the 15th, by the way, is the debut of that.
Mike in Pensacola writes in, my question has to do with the recent signing of Brian Waters, and if this signing has more to do with one, adding more depth at the position with the injuries to Wendell and the inavailability of Marcus Cannon, or two, if Belichick believes that Connolly is not a dependable option at the starting right guard spot for the team moving forward. I thought Connolly did a solid job last year, but his performance in the Jets playoff game and the Lions preseason game from the other night has really changed my perception of him being a starter, and that maybe he would be more suited in a reserve backup role. What do you guys think? Also, do you think the team will only carry three offensive tackles on the roster this year? Could we see another signing at that spot as well as tight end? Could the team bring back Algie Crumpler? So first of all,
I think it's
the guard one.
I think it's a little bit of both on the guard one, but I think it's more the latter. I think that they wanted to improve that spot. They wanted an upgrade over Conley. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, I think Conley is a terrific backup interior guy. I don't think that he was the best starter that they had. And certainly they were also worried about the health across the board. From Conley right on down. Conley's got an ankle injury that he had to leave that Detroit game that the emailer talked about. Didn't play the following week. Now, Wendell has missed the entire summer. We haven't seen him at all since very, very early on. And Ornberger went on IR. So they don't really have a lot of options in terms of backup linemen until 7 weeks into the season when Marcus Cannon is eligible. And right. Again, I'm not expecting a lot from
him. We have no idea.
So that aspect, I think, yeah, they wanted an upgrade. But, yeah, it had to do with health. And I do think they'll have a fourth tackle on the roster. I would, Steve Mineri, I know they have Thomas Welch right now that they signed to the practice squad. He's an old draft pick, Freddie, from last year, I believe, maybe 2 years ago. It's amazing how old you get. You just forget what year these guys were drafted. But he's a tackle by trade, a kid out of Virginia, I believe. You know, they're going to need some. You're not going to go through the whole season with three tackles.
Well, should we be worried about tackle? Because we really don't know how Solder's going to do.
No, I think
and
they're Volmer pretty solid.
Has shown some,
No, I understand what you're saying, but they have three options at tackle. And I don't think that a lot of NFL teams have three options that they can legitimately say, if one of our tackles goes down, we have a guy that we feel pretty good
in. I'm talking less depth and more ability at this point.
Well, I think that they're I don't think there's a superstar in the bunch, but I think they're all solid.
Okay.
Now, Volmer, I think, has been kind of under the radar, not as good as people think he is. The last couple of, I thought early last year he struggled, and early this year, quite frankly, I think he's struggling. But doesn't mean that I'm not sold on him. I think he's a very good player. And I think Volmer will be the right tackle for a long, long time. The other question? Crumpler?
Yeah.
I'm told that Crumpler absolutely physically could not play. Now, when that changes or how long, maybe it's another one of those week one things.
He had shoulder surgery.
He had some significant surgeries. He had like two different things. I think he tore a labrum or I forget. But he is dealing with some significant physical problems and basically had all he could do to make it through last season. Now, I think that what will happen is at some point they'll call him and see if he's ready and he'll come. It might even be one of those week one things, Freddie.
Yep.
Where they want, they'll wait till after the first week. I don't see them going through the whole year with only two tight ends. Now, especially when you consider those tackles that they had, Steve Mineri was a guy I thought could serve as an extra tight end because he played tight end in college. Same with Nate Solder. So now you're taking one of those guys away. I don't know. They're going to have to do it. They have 23 offensive players and 27 on defense. That's going to have to, that's got to even out, I think.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Pratt is in Maryland. Hey, Pratt.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Good, good, good. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
As usual, I love listening to your show and been listening for quite some time but never actually got a chance to call in.
Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, so I actually sent you guys an email, and I had a few questions primarily about wide receiver and safety. So when you see that email, you can skip over it. I guess I want to start with the wide receiver position. Do you guys think that it's critical that Wes Welker be brought back after this season? primarily because Julian Edelman, even though he seems like a Wes Welker kind of player, like you guys addressed this already, he seems like he has a lot of health issues and
he
seems a little injury prone, and I don't really know if you can count on him for a 16-game regular season.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
This is a tough one, you know, because I've started to think about that. You know, Welker's not going to be cheap. He's certainly got the numbers to back up asking for, I don't know, what would you say, Paul, $7 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I think he's going to be well within his rights to ask for a lot of money, and I think the Patriots will be well within their rights to say no.
Yeah.
It's one of those strange situations where the guy has probably earned more money, but I think the team is right in not giving it to him because I think it's going to go downhill.
Do you equate this to Deion Branch at all, or is this a little bit different than Deion Branch?
Much different stage of the career. He's much older.
Yeah.
You're talking about when Branch originally
left. Right,
when
Branch first left.
Yeah. I think Branch was entering the prime of his career when he left.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with Welker.
And Branch was, you know, other than the knee injury, Welker's been pretty healthy. You know,
yeah, he's missed some games here and there, but he's been pretty durable considering the workload that he's been under as a Patriot for 4 years now. Yeah, I understand the question. I would tread lightly there. I want him back.
Yeah,
but I don't want to make him, you know, an $8 million guy.
And the other thing, Paul, that I think is going to make it even tougher is I think he's going to have an unbelievable season.
Well, I think in a lot of ways he might be the lone option.
Yeah,
You know, him in the tight ends. I think one of the tight ends is going to end up being, I think it's probably Hernandez in terms of number of catches.
Yep.
He's going to be the number two receiver.
You could be right. Much like Coates was back when, you know, Bledsoe was there.
Yeah, and I did, you know, that clipboard last issue about the Patriots under Belichick. It's always been two wide receivers, the top two receivers on the team. And there's only been three times in 11 years that hasn't been the case. Falk was the number two receiver 1 year.
They would have liked to have Watson, but he just couldn't.
Watson
do it.
Was the number two receiver 1 year in 06 when they had no wide receivers.
Yep.
And who's the other one? I can't. Maybe it was only twice. Yeah, it was Falk and Watson with the only two times out of 11 years that hasn't been two wide receivers. So I think you might see that again this year.
All right, Pratt, you got anything else?
Yeah. Two more questions real quick. With the Moss hysteria that's, you know, being discussed in New England, I can imagine a lot of people are either on board with that or they're not on board with that. Do you guys think that if something goes wrong with the Ocho Cinco experiment, that the Randy Moss coming back to New England possibility becomes even more, I mean, I guess the talks would heat up even more.
We talked about this earlier in the show.
And yes.
I think whereas 2 weeks ago I would have said there's no chance, I think that there is a slim chance he could come back.
Yeah, I don't think he'll come back, but I do think if you see Ocho struggle, Pratt, I think that absolutely the spotlight will get hotter on him and people will start clamoring more for Moss. Because there is already Not a large swell of opinion for Moss, but it is there. You do hear some people say they still lack that deep threat and they still need this guy and blah blah blah
right.
blah blah. I don't necessarily fall into that category, and I don't think Moss will be back. But you're going to hear a lot of it if Ocho Cinco does not do the job.
Right. And one last question before I hang up here is. Do you guys think that Darren Sharper will be the guy signed if, you know, after this week or whatever, with the contract guarantee situation, do you guys think he's really going to be the option that they're going to go after?
Yeah, I do.
Thanks for the call, Pratt.
I think when they looked at him, he wasn't healthy, and they're waiting for him to get healthy.
So, Paul, so you really think that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think eventually he'll be part of this team?
More than likely.
Okay.
Again, now they could come out and play and – all of a sudden, Sergio Brown and Josh Barrett and maybe even James Ahedebo, you know, and these guys go out there and play, and they look good. You remember, everybody is drawing the parallel, Freddie, to 2003 when Lauri Malloy left, and, you know, Antoine Harris was the guy that they had ready to take his place, and he was terrible in week one. And Drew picked him apart, if you recall.
Yep.
And they lost the game 31-0, and all of a sudden they converted a cornerback in Eugene Wilson, who played cornerback that whole summer, and they made him the safety in week two. And he was a pretty solid safety, turned into a terrific rookie season. Made plays, big hits, some key interceptions, and it worked out great, and the Patriots went 14-2 and went on to the title.
So
a lot of people are saying, well, what about Rossi Dowling?
Right.
You know, he's a second-round pick. He played cornerback, just like Eugene Wilson.
Big guy.
Big guy's got the size. Maybe he's the safety. Yep. Maybe he is.
Yeah. Tiff in Wisconsin says, I've tried to reach you folks several times on different platforms, Twitter. I called the pregame social. I emailed last week, Tuesday, but to no avail. I know it's probably a dumb question, but I need to know the answer. What's the difference between a strong safety and a free safety? And after you answer that, we can move on to explaining cover two gap, nickel packages, and sub packages. But the difference between strong and free safety, which on this team you may or may not have.
Well, you know, Bill likes to say they really don't. They have left and right safeties. They really don't do that. But strong safeties are generally considered more physical, run stoppers. They get a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, they play the strong side. You know, maybe they're a little bit more locked up on tight ends. And whatnot. Free safeties are generally considered center fielders, good guys to roam around and patrol that bat, like Ed Reed. Ed Reed was as good a deep safety as there have been in you know, maybe ever. Just guys that can play you know, the deep ball and take away their deep halves. Now, I think that, to be honest with you, and that's a very, very broad overview of free safety. I'm sure that Bill could give you much more detailed or what a free safety is and what a strong safety is than I ever could possibly imagine. But I do think that the NFL is going away from that a little bit, and what Belichick says about that is accurate. It's more, you know, the way the Patriots play it, it's more left than right. Because you've seen examples of Chung being more in that quote-unquote strong safety spot,
right,
and Merriweather more in that free safety spot based on what they do. But you see them both do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I think Bill is being somewhat genuine when he says they really don't play it like that.
Mark writes,
hey, guy.
Hi.
Andy's back.
Oh, Andy's back. How was your interview with Zoltán Mezco?
We'll talk about that off air.
Uh-oh. Was it bad?
Didn't happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What happened?
We'll talk about that off air.
He did say,
well, why not? This is PFW in progress. We can talk about it.
Okay. He was being escorted to the visitor's locker room where we were set up by the PR department when he ran to the head coach's executive administrator, who said there's no media access on Tuesdays. So we don't do interviews with players on Tuesdays. Today's Tuesday. So we didn't have an interview.
Okay.
Should we have talked about that off air?
No, I you know, it's very interesting. We'll have
so
to deal with that.
So we will be rolling with the punches. And I actually was talking to the boys from Comcast and said I would prefer to do the old Vrabel-friendly scoop and do it in the locker room. Grab a player during Wednesday open locker room, take him to one of the kind of side areas.
That was my original idea.
I prefer that. I think it gives us a better chance to get good players. I think it gives us a better chance to have a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of those that go on. Everybody does a sit down.
But the problem with Comcast is they say Wednesday is too late.
Yeah, I don't know. So this is the PFW TV show is in progress as well right now.
Well, okay. That must have been uncomfortable for someone in PR.
Well, because the someone in PR is not near the top of the food chain, he's near the bottom, yeah, and assumed that all these things were taken care of in advance, and that he was just doing his job, and he unfortunately spent the better part of the last 3 hours kind of in the locker room and
right,
making sure they had a player and waiting for the player to be with him, and right when he was about to succeed and deliver the goods, was yanked out from underneath.
Mark at Fall River writes in, love the show, two questions. I was listening to the podcast of the pregame social, and I heard Andy make a comment off the cuff saying that Ellis and Haynesworth should dominate against the second and third stringers. Did you guys think they did?
No.
And what did you think of their performance?
I thought, and I said this, my initial reaction to Sean Ellis was, he looks awful slow. Now, I know he had a sack later, maybe looked a little bit better, but I didn't think he looked overly explosive coming off that defensive end spot. Haynesworth was fine. But he certainly didn't dominate to the level he dominated out on the practice field for that short stint we saw him, and didn't dominate to the level. Matt Light made the comment the other day on Patriots Friday or Monday that when he's going, he's virtually unstoppable. Well, he didn't look like that against the backup of the Giants. He had that one pressure where he kind of got in the quarterback's face, but he looked like a good competitive defensive lineman. He didn't look like Superman out there playing with a bunch of Jags.
Yeah, I'm going to give him some time. He didn't look like he was ready. He didn't look like he was in shape.
And he said that. He said he wanted to knock rust off. He's been rusting in D.C. for a couple of years and, you know, all that crap. But I'm just – they didn't dominate.
Okay. And with the new rule change involving reviewing scoring plays, I have a question, and I'll use the Patrick Chung fumble recovery as an example. If he had scored on that play and it was questionable whether or not Hixon had fumbled, would they review the fumble aspect of the play, or do they only review the actual scoring end zone aspect of the play?
It's a great question, but
they
yes.
would have reviewed it, yes.
Yeah, whenever they review something, the whole play becomes under review, right?
No, but that's not the question. Any play that results in a score, they're going to review.
No, I understand. Well, Paul knows what I'm talking about.
Right. No, the question the guy is saying, I mean.
Even though the questionable spot part of the play was not the scoring part, every scoring play is reviewed.
Right.
The entire play.
Yes.
Right.
Well, anytime they review any play,
that's I think, his point.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I think he's saying the question happened long before the score.
No. His point is,
would they still review it? Yes, they would.
His point is that on any play, when it's reviewed, it's the entire play. Is that the same for a scoring play? That's his question.
That's not his question. And I'll go. He can email back in. I know for a fact that's not what he's asking, because that would be an irrelevant question.
So we're not going to argue about what a question.
I think he's asking, clearly, the questionable part of the play was nowhere near the end zone, nowhere near the score.
Right.
I think
does the automatic
the
rule come into play
if
for
he
that?
Has scored?
Yes. Anytime that a guy scores,
yes.
If it's a 100-yard kickoff return that they think he stepped out in the end zone when he received the kick at the back of the end zone, they're going to review it. Any scoring play is reviewed.
Okay. I mean, that might be, but, you know.
I think that is right, but yeah. I think you guys were kind of saying the same thing.
No, he's saying something different. He's saying they review the whole play. They wouldn't just look at the scoring aspect of Chung. Is he inbounds? Is he out of bounds?
Right.
Did he hit the pylon? Whatever. The aspect of the play, yes, was long before the score.
Right.
But the end of the play, even if it was some crazy razzle-dazzle lateral
right.
45-minute play that ends in a touchdown, and it's a clear touchdown, but the very first lateral on the play, which happened 17 hours earlier, they're going to review the entirety of the play because it was a scoring play, and that's the new rule. Every scoring play is reviewed.
That's correct. let's see. Lucas writes in, Guyton is an obvious outside linebacker. He's just so fast. His 40-yard dash was rocket time. He can get to the quarterback like a real speedster. So do you guys agree switching Guyton to an outside linebacker?
His best position in a 4-3, in my opinion, is the outside linebacker spot because he can be athletic. I think if you saw Gerard Mayo get hurt, I think he would become that athletic weak side outside linebacker.
I agree.
But his best position is moving all around, doing a lot of stuff.
In the old system, in the 3-4, no, I don't think he would be a good outside linebacker. He's not big enough and strong. He doesn't hold a point of attack. And I thought that he got run around a lot in those brief times that Bill, out of necessity back in 2009 maybe, had to put him out there. It didn't go well.
Oh, yeah.
He was not an outside linebacker in a 3-4.
But I also
it's not just about speed.
Well, I don't think he's a natural pass rusher either. I think he's got good athleticism and speed. He just doesn't look to me that he's natural in pass rushing, that it just, you know, he's got moves.
He's another guy that this scheme, I think, benefits. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to make some plays in sub packages because I think he's athletic enough to make plays in space.
Alex in Falmouth says, humor me, please. Suppose the Patriots are in the 59th minute of an absolutely critical game, one that determines who will be the AFC East champion or even whether or not they go to the Super Bowl and they're third and goal at the one. We have Tom at QB. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is behind him to take the handoff. The question is, why could we not put Wilfork and Haynesworth on the offensive line to make the hole needed for the running back to get into the end zone? If they both pretty much demand double coverage when on defense, why wouldn't they just be just as much of a threat, just as valuable on an offensive play, given that you aren't going to use them going both ways on a regular basis?
You want to tackle that one?
Because that's not what they do. You pay a guy named Logan Mankins $50 million because he is a polished offensive lineman. On defense, the other issue is Vince Wilfork and Haynesworth are trying to get by people, not position themselves to block people of their own stature, people that are trying to get by them. It's just not natural.
Yeah, it's different.
The defense can use their hands.
Right.
You're asking two guys that really have never had a block.
My guess is if you made Vince Wilfork a guard and gave him a whole season, he'd be a pretty good guard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the point the guy makes, I think, is valid. I think if you had one play and you just said, we're going to just load up and put these big guys. You probably would work. Now, personally, if the season's on the line and it's third and one from the one, I don't think there's any chance that they're running the ball, to be honest with you.
Lucas writes in, just to clarify the situation one more time, I don't understand Coach B's strategy. He drafted Butler in the second round of 2009, then McCurdy in the 2010 first round, and Dowling in this year's second round. Butler played bad last year and was replaced by an undrafted free agent. No offense to Arrington, but again, you'd expect better from Butler. And when everybody is waiting for Belichick to release Butler, he cuts Sanders. Why did Belichick cut Sanders instead of cutting Butler? Well, I think at that time, he cut Sanders to give him a chance to hook out with another team. Well, and have right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sanders...
They were both going to get cut.
But Butler didn't.
I mean, not...
But why was James Sanders going to be cut? That I don't have the answer to that. Is it just the money?
I think it's...
And where are you using that money?
I think it's a value thing with the money. And I also think it was he's a safety, not a corner. So they're not the same position.
Right.
But it doesn't really answer the question as to why Sanders was cut other than value. And I don't really have any answer for you other than that. I can't figure out a logical football reason why James Sanders was cut other than he was making $2.8 million and they didn't think he was worth it.
I don't want to tell people why we're better than ESPN Boston's Midday podcast, but
go ahead.
Now, sliding into the guest chair over there, I can see across the way, is Brian Lowe. And we all know from experience on this show how bad things get when B-Lowe is involved.
Come
so
on now.
No reason to click over. You're on the right show as you listen right here.
Oh, by the
now.
Way, I talked to he and Lindsay Petrucci about being the rotating people, and they were both happy to do it.
Now, she knows what it entails, right?
No. No, I said mostly it's talking about the game coming up. And
no, I'm just implying something vulgar.
Stripping?
Yeah, you know, pole dance.
Steve in
There's
Albany.
Only one pole around here, though. Hey, oh.
Steve in Albany says, I'm with Fred regarding Randy Moss. If you have the audio of Tom Brady's response regarding the rumors that Deion Branch was coming back, it sounds a lot alike. What do you think about that?
I didn't think it sounded alike at all. Basically, Brady said he's coming. That was the worst-kept secret ever when they made the trade for Deion Branch.
And the situations aren't even close to the same.
I don't even
Deion Branch was traded for one reason and one reason only, money.
Yeah.
That's it. Everybody loved him. That was it. He was traded for that reason. Randy Moss had nothing to do with money.
Right.
Zero to do with money.
That's true.
So they are totally different. They fell out of love with one guy and never lost their love for another.
Yeah.
And what are those cookies?
They're not bad. They're
I don't like chocolate.
Okay, then you won't like them.
Why are you all mad?
We got chocolate cookies with pink whatever they are.
M&Ms.
It's terrible.
They're left over from last year's Valentine's Day.
What's wrong with the normal cookies?
Shake it up a little bit.
I don't care for change.
You don't like chocolate at all?
No, I don't eat anything chocolate.
Why
except
not?
Chocolate.
What's the matter? You don't eat anything chocolate except chocolate?
Yes. I don't eat cupcake, brownies occasionally, but I don't like cupcakes, chocolate cake, chocolate ice cream, chocolate cookies.
What's the problem with
They're not good.
What do you mean they're not good?
Vanilla is always better.
Well, you can like vanilla better, but...
It is better. I don't like it better. It is better.
But that doesn't mean chocolate isn't good.
It's bad.
Brooklyn Matt on line two.
It doesn't taste good. And I also don't think chocolate stuff tastes like chocolate.
What does chocolate taste like?
Chocolate.
What's
like
chocolate?
A real
chocolate
example
chocolate
of chocolate.
Stuff? What's chocolate
like?
Stuff?
Any of these... I don't think chocolate
cake.
Ice cream you tastes don't... like chocolate, an
really?
Actual chocolate bar. I don't think chocolate cake tastes like an actual chocolate bar.
Well,
there's
different foods.
Vanilla ice cream doesn't taste like a vanilla cupcake.
Yeah, it does. It's got a little vanilla to it.
Oh my God!
It's the bean.
And chocolate
and you
ice
don't
cream
taste
doesn't
the
have
chocolate?
A little chocolate.
No, I don't think faux chocolate things taste chocolatey.
You're out of your mind.
I
kind of share your thing with chocolate. I don't really like chocolate ice cream.
I
like chocolate, but to say that there's not a chocolate taste,
there isn't.
In chocolate ice cream or a chocolate cupcake,
it's different.
It's different than a chocolate bar because it's a different food.
Yeah, but it doesn't
just like
taste
a vanilla
like
cupcake.
It's supposed to
is
be
different
the
than
ice
a vanilla
cream.
A white chocolate
no,
bar. They're different.
No,
they're two
no,
different foods.
No,
they taste
no,
different.
No. There's a vanilla.
He's
taste
insane.
To both
the man's insane.
In other words, you can discern a vanilla taste where your taste buds don't have the same.
Well, don't confuse yellow cake with vanilla cake because that's a big difference too.
Well, yeah,
a lot of cakes
cake,
you
right.
get are just that golden
right.
cake. It's
I understand
not
what
supposed
you're saying.
To be vanilla.
Vanilla extract is what you're looking for. You're
yeah.
looking for that
vanilla taste.
Yeah.
I don't think chocolate ice cream tastes like it comes from chocolate.
Oh, my God.
I think it tastes bad.
He's out of his mind.
You have something wrong with your taste buds, that's all.
And while we're on it, white chocolate is far better than
Oh, see, I
now,
like
see,
white
now,
chocolate.
I agree with you on that.
To me, that's too sweet. It's
I
supposed
love,
to be sweet.
I love white chocolate.
When I go for white chocolate, I want something sweet. It delivers.
All right.
All right.
I'll tell you what doesn't deliver. Those.
You don't like the cookies. Have you tried the cookies?
What did I tell you when I opened? Chocolate. When I opened that box, what did I tell you?
By the way, Eric yesterday had the raggedy T-shirt, short shorts, Daisy Duke shorts, and flip-flops
in
the locker room.
This room is you.
Sean writes in, I think Moss would be back if someone gets injured, like Branch's knee. Tell Andy he is not in a wheelchair and defenders would still have to cover him. The Patriots are not going to try to go after a high-dollar young receiver. It's not the Patriots' way. I agree with you, Fred, as far as Moss realizing that this is his last chance,
but it
such
isn't.
As Haynesworth, and then you can always cut him.
But if you go crawling to him in an emergency because your other guys are hurt, to me that gives him, what do they call it, hand?
Yeah. You
know what they call it, hand?
That's from Seinfeld.
Really?
Yes, it is. So even though you don't like the show, you're using its references.
Well, I've been around you two idiots far too long. I now know the references, even though I don't know what they're referring to.
Dustin writes in, love the show. I'm a Patriots fan living in Texas.
Love the Drake.
A lot of fires going on in Texas. It's a mess.
Wildfires. 500 homes?
5,000, I thought.
5,000? I thought it was 500.
Maybe it was 5,000 people.
Oh, wow.
You guys are my main source of Patriots talk because everyone down here loves the Cowgirls. My question is to you, will the addition of Waters impact the offensive line? Is he going to be a legitimate option for the starting job?
Yes.
What do you guys know about this? Again, I love the show. Listen every week.
He's certainly planning on starting based on his comments.
Now, the question is he planning on starting Monday night in Miami?
Yeah.
Would you start him? Because you wouldn't have started Logan Mankins last year. Remember when we had that long argument about Reddy? Reddy. What does Reddy mean? Is he ready?
I would have started him.
Oh, you said you wouldn't start Mankins. I said I wanted to start him against the Browns because I wanted him to be ready for the big game the next week.
Yeah.
And you said, what is ready?
I said, as long as he's ready, I would start.
And I said, is he ready? You said, he's not ready.
Right. I knew that was a difference because I would have started him right away. Well, like I said, he certainly says he is.
Because I would start him no matter what, just like I would have started Mankins no matter what.
I think that there's an element.
They got wiped off the field by the Browns.
I think there's an element of injury there with Conley as well. That's part of
it. Oh, yeah.
So, yes, I would play Waters. I mean, unless he just has no knowledge whatsoever of the system, and I can't imagine that. He played last year for Charlie Weiss, and he has to have at least a base knowledge, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So,
and
yeah,
even the Haley thing, like Bill said, that's a Jets-based system from when they were all together in New York.
I'd be starting him Monday night.
Yeah. Does he have a nickname like
Muddy?
Brian Muddy Waters or Running Waters?
I think that was Andre was Muddy Waters, the guy who killed himself, yeah.
I think they called him Bry. Gene in Daytona, I keep hearing. Actually, that was a good silence. Gene in Daytona
it was deafening.
Says, I keep hearing from Ocho that the offense is so hard to learn. My question to you is Tyquan Underwood a genius? He comes in one game outperforms Ocho.
Tyquan Droppo?
Underwood was cut and Ocho's still there?
Let's look at this. Do you really think that Antoine Molden and Tyquan Underwood had to learn the entire Patriots offense? Really? Do you really think that? Well, no, they didn't.
In Molden's case, it would be a lot of wasted time if he was learning the offense.
Shut up. Defense, too. My guess is they told Underwood, see that guy in front of you? Bump him and run with him. And they told Tyquan Underwood, here's the three plays we're going to call in the game when you're in there in scrub time.
Right.
It's going to be a slant for you, a post for you, and whatever. He's not trying to learn the offense. Ocho Cinco is trying to learn every aspect of the offense so he can be a key part of this team.
And he didn't outperform it. I mean,
ridiculous.
He had a couple of catches, and he had more times the plays. I think he had 9 targets in that game.
Right,
he only caught 4 passes.
If you give Ocho Cinco 9 targets, he's going to catch at least 4 passes.
Why did we get rid of Yateman and keep Tarpanian and Butler? Do you think teams were waiting in line for Tarpanian? I think we blew this one and hope Gronk stays healthy. I'm happy for Yateman anyway.
Yeah, I touched on that with Tarpanian. I don't get it. I didn't see anything when he was playing, and he hasn't played in a while. I don't know. I don't know what the fascination is there. Maybe Bill's just going on some solid intel from his old buddy Kirk in Iowa.
Maybe Kirk should have told him he's always hurt, so don't count on him.
I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for that, but there's nothing I saw from him that led me to believe that he earned a roster spot.
And I think they felt pretty good about Yateman or Smith being back, right?
Well, it seemed like they were poised to re-sign one of them anyway, Yateman.
No, but I think they were probably thinking, what are the chances we lose both? One of them will make it through. If it's not Yateman, and we're kind of heh-heh.
I got to be honest with you. I'm really, really surprised that both of those guys got claimed.
We talked about it. I mean, we talked about it with the whole tackle thing, shoulder.
I think that guy. No. Not that they got cut. Claimed.
Oh.
On waivers. I'm stunned that they both. I think that guy in the NFL is a dime a dozen. That third tight end blocker, you know, an extra tackle. I think there's so many guys in the NFL that you never heard of that fill that role. I'm stunned that two rookies off of the same team got claimed for that spot.
Right.
Stunned. Now, I wonder, you know, if it had anything to do with, you know, the whole intel thing. You know, division teams picked. I don't know.
I find that hard to believe.
I mean, to me, that would be a complete and utter waste of time to tab a rookie to claim and that you have to put him on your roster. What's a rookie know?
Right.
Rookie doesn't even know what he knows.
You know where the practice field is.
He didn't even know how to put the shoulder pads on.
Speaking of early intel, I liked the tight end for Maryland last night. 89, I believe.
I didn't watch that game.
I'm going to keep an eye on him. I liked him. Okay, proceed.
I had too many Miller Lights last night. I didn't watch any of that game.
Ugliest uniforms ever, but he looked good in it.
I've been watching a lot of tennis, the U.S. Open.
You're such a loser.
Dan in Hopkinton.
I saw the highest Americans already out.
Roddick? Oh, no, Roddick wasn't the highest American.
Yeah, it was some other
Marty
guy.
Marty Fish is out.
Oh, the highest, because there's other Americans that were
the highest, though. I mean, our best. Yeah, theoretical.
Yeah, Marty, well, that's just... I think Roddick is a better player. It's just that he's dropped this year.
I hope Roddick makes the final so I can watch and look in the stands.
Brooklyn. Decker.
Dan in Hopkinton writes in, just wanted to drop in a few notes. Bring back Moss and Crumpler. Mallett has to get his hands up on the draw plays. It was obvious that it was a draw play when in shotgun his hands were lower than normal. And I'm okay with the recent moves, but gotta shed Butler. Maybe. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's always one step behind. He's learning, though. Did you see him do the McCurdy turn and try for the pick, although the ball was far over his head and uncatchable? He's at least trying to improve his technique. I'm on the bubble with him. I dump him for Moss or Crumpler and pick up a secondary player later this season if we're in trouble due to injuries.
I think that's why he's still here, is because he works, and maybe Bill sees two or three of those flashes that say maybe he still has a chance. But the time is running out, I think.
Jay in Pennsylvania says he saw that Tyrone McKenzie was cut by Tampa Bay. I'd love to bring him back for the practice squad. What do you guys think?
Not sure he has practice squad eligibility.
I don't know.
I bet he does.
Didn't he spend the whole year last year with Tampa Bay?
I don't know.
Maybe he was on the practice squad.
I
don't know the answer to that, but to be honest with you, I have no interest in Tyrone McKenzie.
Andrew,
I always thought he was a nice man.
Oh, tremendous in that regard, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Andrew writes in from the Ukraine, I thought I would weigh in on the recent controversy over talent evaluators on the PFW staff.
There's no controversy.
In my 7 years as a listener, I have found that three of the members of PFW staff have clear-cut standards in determining talent. Eric determines talent based on how a person looks at him at the combine, or how well
that
a player...
That is completely and totally accurate.
Or how well a player matches his socks to his sweater. Fred evaluates talent based on whether a player has recently joined or left the Patriots.
That's correct also.
Paul is more of a football purist, much like Al Davis is a football purist.
Oh, that's not true.
He would be completely satisfied to line up the 22 fastest, biggest, strongest cavemen.
No.
Paul also takes it as a personal affront if a player used his brain to achieve more than his combine measurables suggest he should be able to. This brings us to Andy, who has no scientific method for his man crushes. To be fair, I usually trust Andy's evaluation, except when he speaks in excess of 150 words a minute. Consider the following comparison. Patriot number one. Although a reliable starter during his Patriot career, this player never appeared in the top 20 for any impact stat at his position. Tackles, interceptions, passes, defense.
That's
Patriot number two. In his four-year career, this player has recorded 35 more receptions than the next best receiver. He has had three consecutive 110 reception seasons, a feat never accomplished in the history of the NFL. One of these has been described as awesome. The other, a nice little player. Take a guess who. You guys get the last laugh, though. I just re-upped for the international subscription. Keep it coming.
And don't forget to get the iPad app in a couple weeks.
Right. Let's turn over to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, where people are standing by. Howard is in Pittsfield, Mass. Hey, Howard.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. What about you?
Not bad out here in Western Mass.
Uh-oh. What's the problem, Howard?
Sounds sad.
Hey, today's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
How old are you?
I turned 40.
Oh, that's why you're sad. It all went downhill for Paul after that one.
That's true.
Yeah, it's more like 35. I agree with that previous listener's evaluation of your evaluation of talent, I think.
All right, well, thanks for the
like
call, Howard.
It tends to go for pedigree. Although, it does seem to me like in the Jets game, in the playoffs, they did seem to have a dearth of talent.
Well, yeah. So it's funny how that works when, you know, you get to the playoffs, talent wins out. That's amazing.
I think, actually, that's why they went and got Ocho and Haynesworth. I think they needed a couple of disruptive players to open up the other players.
Those two are disruptive. It's just a question of for your team or against it.
But I all this talk about acquiring older players, I don't see that as moving forward. I mean, this talk of Sharper or Crumpler or all these guys, I mean, wasn't it just a few years back where they're talking about we need to get younger?
Well, they have significantly. I mean, the core players of this team are getting younger by the year. Well, not literally, but figuratively.
I think I read somewhere they said the Patriots had the ninth oldest team.
Yeah, but list the core.
Howard, can I interrupt for 1 second? Breaking news. It sounds like there's going to be now two Gronkowskis in New England.
Boy.
They signed Chris as a tight end, supposedly, according to Chris Gronkowski on Twitter.
For the practice squad?
I don't know.
So not only do we not have Crumpler to keep an eye on Gronkowski, we now have the brother coming to just let all hell break loose. That's good.
Go ahead, Howard. Sorry to interrupt.
I'll ask a question, and I'll just hang up and let you guys
talk about chocolate. Yeah.
My suspicion was that they got all these defensive linemen because they're particularly concerned about maintaining pressure through the whole 60 minutes. They wanted to have a rotation, so they didn't have defensive linemen getting tired. Players like Devin McCourty, he can play a full game, and it's okay, but a guy, defensive linemen get tired. Mm-hmm. So that's why they are so heavy on that part of the team, and that's why you're seeing 23 offensive players and 27 defensive players. So I would like to know on my 40th birthday what you guys think of that. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call, Howard.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I think you're overthinking it. I think they needed to upgrade.
Right. I think that's a byproduct is they got a few guys, so there's a rotation, but they needed more talent.
They needed more talent, and I know that Andy and I get made fun of for, you know, quote-unquote liking talented players, but listen, when they had the talented players on defense, Seymour, Law, Harrison, Bruschi, Johnson, Pfeiffer, Ted Washington, they won. They had more talent then than they do now on defense. Now, hopefully, the Haynesworths and the Ellises and the Carters, these guys pan out. And you don't. Howard's right. It's not a long-term fix. It's a short-term fix. But I think you needed a short-term fix because your offense is still great. Your offense is Super Bowl worthy. If the defense can be Super Bowl worthy with it, the best way to go about that is, Andy said they did get younger, but they supplemented it with experienced talent. I like it. I mean, I think it was a great offseason, even though it was all in a 5-week span.
And you can target the areas. He talked about them, whatever it is, ninth oldest team. You can look at the areas that are the cause for that. Wide receiver is one of them, right? I mean, Wes Welker and Deion Branch are getting up there. You need a young receiver to develop. There's no argument there. You need a young quarterback. I mean, you have a 12th-year veteran quarterback. Defensive line now, the way they've kind of turned
Gerard
it over
Warren,
for this year.
Andre Carter, Albert Haynesworth,
so you know,
Sean Ellis, all double digits,
but,
right?
I mean, you have two back-end guys that are very young in McCourty and Chung, which are the core of your defense in the back end moving forward. At linebacker, you have Mayo, Spikes, Guyton, young guys that are the core of your linebackers moving forward. Tight end, young. Running back, young. Offensive line, I would now say, with Solder, Vollmer, Cannon, I expect to be a competitive guy. Young.
They're going to need to find a center.
Right.
And
but
then,
I mean, you can target where they need to get younger. It's right. not like and Mankins, overall.
And Mankins is the old man of the group, in theory, after you lose Copen, Light, and then
right.
Waters, I assume, is a short-term guy.
Right. 1 or 2 years.
You know, but now you need to find a center to replace Copen. You have Solder and Vollmer at tackles and Cannon and Mankins at guard.
Okay, you need a center.
You get a quality center, and you're all set.
Just like if Taylor Price and Julian Edelman are your receivers next year, well, now you're all of a sudden younger because Branch is gone and Ocho's gone.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I just think it was as simple as you think back to 06. Everybody said, look, they got to the AFC Championship game without wide receivers. Why do we need wide receivers? Why do we need anybody better than Rishay Caldwell? Well, thank goodness Bill thought differently and went out and signed every receiver under the sun, and they went undefeated the next year. Now, they did not close out the last 30 seconds of the Super Bowl because they didn't have the wide receivers to do it. That was a major upgrade of that team, and it showed. With what? Talent.
Freddie, how many other stadiums do you think they do one radio broadcast from?
We have three going on.
We have three going on at once here.
Right.
ESPN Boston, I see WEEI coming in to do their thing. We're doing our show. We're in the midst of doing a TV show. Then we have to do a second TV show when we're done with that TV show.
It's truly the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Studios, plural.
Yeah.
A correction, it was Dan Gronkowski that they signed. Chris is the one who tweeted it out, the other brother, but Dan Gronkowski is the Gronkowski that supposedly, reportedly, via Twitter.
So I wonder, who do you think they'll let go for that, if he's on the roster?
I don't know. A defensive player?
Butler.
And Nick writes in,
Butler's head all
day.
Do
you really think Butler's going to get cut?
I don't, but everybody else seems to think everybody else thought that was a surprise. I didn't think it was.
I'll tell you, I was a little surprised actually when I saw the first thing and so-and-so, and it said Butler, but it was Carson, was like the first wave of cuts, and I was like, whoa, they cut Butler? I thought it was Darius. And then Aiken came back, and I was like, really, Sam Aiken? I didn't know he was still, and it was Danny. I had a lot of confusing names.
When I saw the Aiken thing, that's what the first thing I thought of was they brought Sam Aiken back, and it's a good thing I checked it.
Nick writes in.
Write like Eric does, like he did on the blog yesterday. Didn't look like Vollmer got hurt in the game against the Giants. No, I don't think he did, considering he didn't play in the game against the Giants.
Nick writes in, two questions from me. Firstly, I heard the Pats picked up a second Gronk. Rob is my favorite player. But is the team going to be able to keep these knuckleheads calm down?
No. I'm not saying it'll hurt the team, but no, there is no way in hell you're going to keep them calm down.
They're going to have like a comedy show at some place.
They already have Gronk Nation and the t-shirts and the rap that introduces them and
get
thank God's mom and dad did it three times, whatever.
Jeez.
I mean.
Secondly, I need a name for my fantasy football team, preferably Pats related. Any ideas? I was leaning towards the Cadillac Crime Fighters.
The James Sanders Memorial Team.
Oh, okay. That's the one that loses every year?
But seriously,
A lot of people tweeting in about Gronk tweeting.
By the way, I have a special message for Andy. We actually had, in the middle of all this chaos.
What chaos?
The chaos back here.
Oh, I didn't notice.
There has been chaos.
What's going on over there?
No, I got a phone call.
Yeah, that created chaos?
From a listener.
Oh.
With a special message that he wanted me to give to Andy. He wanted me to go like this to Andy.
Was it Bill Jones?
No, and he said, Brooklyn Matt invented the first interstate by proxy flip-off.
He's such a tool.
And that's what he wanted me to deliver to Andy.
Did he want you to do something for Eric, like...
No.
Oh.
But he thought it would be really funny, so I wanted
to. Oh, how vulgar.
So what's going on? What's creating the chaos back
there? Well, no, there's just a lot of people. There's a lot of movement
back here.
I saw the
doors Doug Lane.
Open. Yeah, the door's wide open.
Okay.
Glenn Ordway was in there as well.
They're using that vacant room.
Glenny.
Oh, okay.
As a studio.
Great.
So you have three studios going at once.
I just said that
to him. We were just talking about that.
What other stadiums do you think have one show going on? Never mind three out of their very facility.
Glenn back there now? You think he'd recognize me?
He is back there now.
Why don't you go rub his leg?
You still talk to him?
I haven't seen him in years. Glenn!
Works with Matt Smith. Rub his leg.
It'll be interesting when Pete joins the party.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Awkward.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it right now. Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How was dinner?
It was pretty darn good, but first I want to comment, you guys have three shows, but there's only one that actually gives you information.
That's right. ESPN Boss doing well.
No, honestly, it's you guys. Within the first half hour, I felt like I got caught up from the weekend.
Okay.
And
well, that was the idea.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving you...
No, I know, thank you
for that. Okay, screw the compliments. Where'd you go to dinner and how was it?
Oh, right after I got off the phone with you guys, I did make reservations to Prezzo. And, yeah, it was good.
Not a glowing recommendation.
That's not a glowing.
It was okay.
Really?
The menu, you know, it was good. I don't know. It was just like it didn't blow me away.
How much did it cost? What was the bill?
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay.
We got 2 glasses of wine only, and it's probably about $100 with dip.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
Yeah. But when your voice goes up like that, you always know, you know, it's like, do I look good in this? Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Spoken from experience.
I honestly, I thought I was going to spend $200 going into North End, but.
Well, that's my point. Had it been just okay and you'd spent $200, you would have liked it a lot less.
Yeah. You know what? It was okay. I got the lamb chop, you know, it was good. It was just, it didn't blow me away. I was expecting more. Maybe it was just the hype of going back to the North End.
Did you get blown away later?
Why do you have to do that?
Because he's a child.
But what was nice, it wasn't like a zoo, because it seems like they're reservation only. So it wasn't like a zoo out in front of the restaurant, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know, and I made, you know, I told them when I made the reservations, hey, put a candle on this dessert and bring it out. And of course, she has to ruin it because somebody else like got the candle and they brought it out. And she's like, oh, you should have asked for a candle. I'm like, you
can't say that word.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know. And I'm just like, why do you have to ruin everything?
Right. are you still getting married?
Yeah, sounds like a budding 50-year marriage there.
No.
Why do you got to ruin everything?
No, I don't mean it like that. I love her very much. But
all right.
Yeah. The only downfall of the trip was, it was spectacular because I've never been to Fenway before, and it was cool to experience that with her. But I have to tell you, the Red Sox didn't show up, which sucked.
Went Friday night, the 10-0 game? Oh, yeah.
I was there too, Anthony.
It's a tough one.
It was awful.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. And I honestly think I was just busy looking around, and it's just baseball so boring. I think it was almost like 45 minutes in, and it was still the first inning. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then I just looked out, and I'm like, wait a minute. They took Crawford out. I didn't even pay attention to see if he was starting the game. I was like, well, you know what? If the Red Sox give up on this one, I give up too. And I was like, let's go. Like, she was more into the game than I was. I was just like, this is ridiculous. They're not even trying.
That's why you should watch football instead.
Well, football is my number one. I only watch baseball and entertain me until football comes back anyway.
Well, it's back, baby.
Yeah. But I have to defend you, Andy.
You should. Why?
Screw the Sox. Well, let's talk some football.
No, I know. Real quickly, to defend your thing about chocolate, it's actually been proven, and there's actually like these groups of chefs out there that try to create flavors and stuff for like high-end restaurants.
Yep.
And they say each person is different in the way they taste things. So,
that's what I said.
Like, you guys aren't wrong or right. It's just that's how his taste buds are, you know.
That's what I said.
And by the way, isn't that the very essence of PFW in Progress?
Exactly.
You're neither wrong nor right.
Anthony, thanks for that clearing up on the chocolate.
See you, Anthony. Thanks, Anthony.
All right.
Better luck next trip.
We actually have a lot of emails on the chocolate.
I just think it's funny.
Christian,
I got to defend you on the chocolate.
I thought he was going to talk about like your talent evaluation.
Or
Robert Quinn's having a great start.
Christian says there's nowhere else on the planet where football and the taste of vanilla and chocolate is discussed. Nowhere.
It's true.
Let's see. Cole writes in.
Don't even
he's
get
from
me
Waterloo.
Going on strawberry.
He says, I usually side with Paul or Fred on their opinions on the team, so I was shocked to hear that Andy shares my views on chocolate and vanilla. I hate chocolate ice cream, but love vanilla. I would rather have vanilla cake than chocolate. Also,
I
love
too.
Listening to you boneheads not talking about the Patriots. I have a question regarding the third quarterback rule. Previously, the rule was a team could suit up a third quarterback, but they didn't count against the 45-player limit. This year, they're just upping the game day limit to 46. Do you see Bill suiting all three quarterbacks or using that extra spot somewhere else on the roster?
Somewhere else.
I agree.
He's gone with two for this long. Why would he?
Yeah, I think.
And you got Edelman in a pinch, right? He could play quarterback if you had to. Everybody got hurt and.
Well, I mean, he might take the snap. He's not playing quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know that you would worry about losing two quarterbacks in a game, like who's going to be there to take the snap.
Yeah. Let's see. Tony says white
Kevin
chocolate is technically not chocolate at all.
I know.
When they process the cocoa bean, the dark solids are separated from the fatty content. When they make the white chocolate, they do not add any of the dark solids back in. They just add sugar, milk, and salt. With milk chocolate, semi-sweet, and dark chocolate, they add back in different amounts of the dark solids.
Okay.
I've always heard that it's not really chocolate, but yeah. I don't care.
Let's go.
It's like music. I'm not a snob. I don't need the best chocolate. I want the thing that tastes the best to me, and that's white chocolate. The best music sounds the best to me. It's not what somebody else tells me.
I like white chocolate better. I share your vanilla thing. I just don't understand how you cannot taste chocolate.
White chocolate
and all
can make
things
you really
that are chocolate.
Sick, though. Like, it's one of those things where you
keep
eating.
Well, it's like Fred said. It's so sweet. Yeah.
Well, it is, though, but you don't want to stop. And you keep, like, if you get one of those big bunnies when you're a kid and you just, like, keep going and then you throw up like I did. Is that just me?
Was that a vanilla chocolate or chocolate chocolate?
Solid white chocolate bunny, but like the one that's about a foot tall.
Right.
And I ate the whole thing.
Ate the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Andy and I just led alternate lives. Andy was me the first 15 years of his life.
I had hair, but that's true. I did have a shave pretty short.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dagmar's in Florida. Hey, Dagmar.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing great.
Good. Hey, I'm calling basically to see, because I'm going to the game next week, and I was wondering who of you guys is coming down for the game, on if there is any way that I can actually get in contact with you prior to the game or after the game for, like, just to, you know, take a picture with you guys, or, you know, just to have a 5 minutes gathering moment.
Well, possibly. Eric and I will be traveling, but we don't know where we're staying at this point.
No, usually, but the best place for him in Miami specifically is there's always people lined up by the buses when we exit that tunnel yelling at us.
Right, if you're going to be at the game.
If he goes there. Yeah, he said he was going to be at the game.
Yeah.
Go there where the buses, I don't know that exact location, but wherever the buses line up, if they're just outside that gate, you guys can stop and take a photo.
Yeah, the fans can get pretty close to us.
Seems to be the place to go.
Yeah.
In Miami is
by
the buses.
I don't know where that is exactly.
We get a lot of people yelling at us.
Have a big sign that says, hey, I'm Dagmar.
Well, Eric will look for it because he wants to be noticed and he never is.
No, actually, I'm asking because this is my first time on the NFL game. So I don't know how things work. I've been on college games, but never on the NFL. I've been on...
It's pretty much the same as college. It's four quarters.
I never on the buses, but I didn't know if... in the NFL, they do the same with the buses, and they park them in the same spot, or what is
it? Yes, so, yes, they do.
And Fred and Eric will be the short white guys.
Right.
The other stuff, Andy, you were right, man. Those Maryland uniforms, they're ugly, bro.
Oh, terrible. I think they tried to be as ugly as possible. Not even just the uniform, but they had the sleeves that matched, like those neoprene sleeves.
The side of the helmet, and I don't know if you're aware, but they say they have 32 different combinations.
Yeah, that's what they're all doing now.
I'm like...
Because they had
you don't even play that amount of games.
Right, and they actually had a pregame helmet that had, like, the turtle markings on it that they didn't wear during the game that I assume they'll wear another game.
When did this start? Thanks for the call, Dan.
Nike, Oregon.
I know it, but, like... Is it really taking off? Are they doing it because of the kids are buying every, iteration of the uniform? Or is it just for fun? Because I would imagine that costs a lot of money.
I think it's gimmick. Well, I'm assuming that the companies eat a lot of the cost. Like Under Armour.
But what are they getting out of it?
Promotion, I would say.
Yeah.
Just
well, I know Oregon,
cutting edge.
Phil Knight went to Oregon. That's right. Where Nike is.
And Under Armour is the same thing. He went to Maryland.
Okay.
He started the company.
Gotcha.
That's his program.
Okay.
I don't know how many they sell of the different versions of the jerseys. I can't imagine it's that many.
But in general, too, not even just the different variations or iterations as
I noticed that.
Fred Scalavino threw out a little while ago.
Jeez. Try to just uplift the show a little bit.
Why?
Just get
why? Down. When did we get
the
our
two
most
morons
emails?
Are with you today.
We talked about chocolate. That got the most emails, not iterations.
The way the uniforms are going in general, I think that the majority of uniforms in college football have turned grotesque.
I mean, I don't know.
You have the traditional
the
teams.
The kids love them.
I can't stand them.
But do
the kids
buy them?
Love them.
Do the kids buy them?
Well, that's my question.
That's a bigger issue. It's like the gloves I was
telling
you.
My son's watching. He's into like every little, well, look at their gloves. I hate their socks.
But
I
does
like
he buy them?
No.
Yeah, see, I'm not.
Just because they're cool.
He buys a lot of sweatshirts and caps.
And I'm not necessarily talking about all the accessories either. I'm talking about the actual uniform, the helmet, the shirt, and the pants.
Right.
Like Virginia Tech with that stain on their shoulder a couple of years ago. Unbelievably bad. I can't imagine someone's going out buying that.
I think it's just to get attention.
That's all it is.
Because I can't imagine it. It pays off.
Because there's so many cool college football uniforms. The traditional, and I'm not just being an old guy. I'm just saying there's a lot of really sharp-looking college football uniforms.
Penn State.
That's not one of them. But
policies.
You know, like, like Florida State, I think, is a sharp looking
uniform. I like LSU's.
LSU's purple shirts are awesome. Yeah. I love those. That's not an old guy's shirt.
Right.
I just don't understand why you have to have like five different colors on your shirt and no seeming rhyme or reason to where they are.
Well,
it's like
the Maryland thing, they went big symbolic.
We're just
going to
throw up
flag
on the shirt and see what happens.
Well, it's interesting you say that because next year, I believe, is the year Nike takes over for the uniforms in the NFL. And there's rumors about some pretty out there uniforms,
happen.
But we'll see.
Won't happen.
Yeah. I mean, remember when Nike came in and they took over the Broncos and they came out with, at that time, that was a pretty different uniform the Broncos had.
Mm-hmm.
When they're
it.
In the 3-point stance, it actually made the swoosh on the side of the leg and all that. That was, but it didn't really catch on. A lot of teams didn't really go that route.
I don't think the NFL will allow them to go crazy.
And no. I think that they stopped them too, right?
Yeah.
Because that Reebok took over right after that.
That's right.
Right. So,
and then Nike lost it.
You probably wouldn't have been able to do the Nike swoosh if you're Reebok.
Right, right.
I think the NFL will stop them because I think they hold themselves to a higher, unless they pay. I also think they higher than the standard they hold for themselves is their desire to make money. And if Nike offers enough, they'll let them go.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be willing to wear this thing out. If it's so outlandish that you look like a monkey walking around the street, then it's not going to sell.
I can't imagine anyone wears those Maryland uniforms. Oh, I got to go get one of those. I'm going to wear it to that party Friday night. Are you kidding me?
Well,
no chance.
Let's see. James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in. And
thank you,
for
James.
Lunch.
Although they screwed up the cookies, but I don't hold you responsible.
He says, "Hey guys, it's Chaz Scalavagina." Firstly, well, I have to say it because James basically owns the show.
Chaz Scalava never seen a vagina.
This is really James Pettigrew's show. He's like the Rupert Murdoch. He really owns
it. I'm fine with that.
That's true.
That's why we're tapping things.
Firstly, Brian is an idiot. No one threatens the life of Andy. He's talking about Brian Jones. I have too much invested in you Nudniks to lose any of you.
Bill?
So
Bill, isn't it
maybe
Bill?
Chaz, but not any of you other guys. Question for you.
By the way, Bill, if he wants you dead, James will have you dead and no one will even know what happened.
It's true.
Be like the cleaner.
Question for you. If Snowman Cinco does not work out, how long do you think it would be before they move him? How many weeks' grace will he get? Secondly, do you think he would have any trade value due to his contract, or would they just cut him? All right, love you all, and can I get the Jacksonville Reporter's details? Stevie H. is thinking about calling him on behalf of the Wheelchair Football League. Could be a weekly thing for the pregame social.
Kevin will get you that information off air. I think Ocho's here for the full season.
You do.
Unless he really goes AWOL off the reservation, I don't think because he drops a few passes, he's not going to be.
He would be very tradable if they opted to go that way because the Patriots gave him the $4.5 million. Whoever trades for him wouldn't have to worry about that.
True. There's no.
But do you think there's much of a chance of him not being here?
No.
It would have to get really bad.
It would have to be
really
it'd have to be off field stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I also get the vibe that if he gets really worked over in this offense and can't get it, he's not going to go the bombastic route. He's going to, like, go inside and sulk and mope.
Right.
And
certainly not in time to get traded.
Right, right.
Because don't forget, the trading deadline is only 6 weeks into the season.
But I don't think you get cut for moping and sulking. Yeah. Then you, as a coach, it's your job to get him motivated again, but he doesn't become a cancer.
I think he needs meditation and visualization exercises.
I really do. What are you talking about? He meditates while playing Madden and FIFA and
no,
all those
I think some true...
In the middle of my marathon weekend, he comes out with a, gonna take a couple hours off from my studying from 4 to 6.
Well,
that doesn't help him. No, those don't help
him. In his case, I think when it comes to football, he needs to actually calm his mind down.
Right.
He needs to settle down.
Yes.
And just relax and have fun.
Which is why I also think, as much as I agree with Paul, those don't help him to tweet that, I think you can't study for 24 hours a day for the next week.
No.
Because
it
won't
work. It's perception, though.
Yeah. Right.
You're absolutely
right. But you shouldn't
right.
be announcing that you're playing video games.
He's playing, he's doing everything to the utmost of his ability.
If he can't get it, it's just because he can't get it.
He didn't get it.
But I think a little bit of meditation with
some
self-visualization.
But I think part of it,
I think he probably does that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think part of it is, he's slowed down. He's not as good a player as he was.
Yeah.
We talked about that way, way back in the offseason before he ever got here, before we ever really thought he was going to come here.
He's still going to catch 70 balls. Stop being
no,
so negative.
70 now.
What did I say before?
I don't know.
Scott writes in, on paper, the offensive line looks pretty stout as far as the starters go, but would I be wrong in thinking that this would be an area of potential upgrade next year? I think of Copen as a decent to good starter, but a bit undersized in today's NFL. And is it possible that Marcus Cannon could be groomed for that spot next year, or is that a skill set that you need coming into the NFL versus learning it in the league?
Yeah, I don't think you just transition easily.
Yeah, you go from center to guard, but not it's tough to go from guard to
snapping
never
and
done
calling.
It.
And also, he was a tackle in college. Now you're asking him from a tackle to center in a year.
Guy went from tight end to guard. I mean, it happens. It's two spots.
It did.
But I think the target, and we know generally good centers, their value's increased a little, but our late first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Bill looks at linemen late in the first round. Every year we hear Eric Wood or one of these guys he likes around the back end of the first round. I wouldn't be stunned to see them go first-round center next year if there's a guy that fits the mold.
Right, and we've heard them being interested, as you said. I also wonder, I noticed Buffalo let go of Jeff Hangardner over the weekend. He's a guy, I don't think he's a star. He's not a Pro Bowl caliber center or anything, but he is a guy who's had some experience playing the position, and I immediately thought Patriots for him, just because I don't know who their backup center would be. I mean, who would be their backup center right now? I mean, Wendell, I guess, but he's not healthy, right?
Yeah. Gee, I don't know.
So that's...
What number was Hangardner, or whatever his name is?
What number was he?
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Janine writes in, I've been freeloading on your fantastic
Brooks
podcast
here.
For too long.
From now on, buy the iPad app.
Yeah, you will be happy to know that I ordered a PFW subscription today. I live in Austin, Texas, but I will be at the Patriots-Jets game on October 9th. I'll be looking for y'all. I'm thrilled that the Patriots radio is back into the regular season swing. Thanks for the great work throughout the whole year. Y'all are champs.
Speaking of Austin and Patriots radio being back, look
who's
mosing up
the
to the mic.
John Rook is here.
Woo-hoo!
We know it's regular season if John Rook's in the house.
All suck.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Sucky.
So,
right.
John, how you doing?
Excellent, friend. How are you?
Yeah? You ready for another year?
No, I'm never ready.
You're never ready?
Never.
Never.
No.
What's happening?
Oh, you know, the same old thing. We're kicking off the
football
regular season schedule with the playbook with John Rook coming up at 2 o'clock.
Where's Squidward?
He's not here today.
He's not here today.
Oh, so you're
playing. Oh, it's today off, right?
So no queen and the rook today.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah, but, he's the queen in that.
You're the rook.
Just in case there was any.
Oh, man.
So what do you got going today, John?
Well, you know,
it's Nitpick Tuesday.
It is Nitpick Tuesday. It's always Nitpick Tuesday.
We're still talking about the Jets game from last
week. We got to make up for Pete Shepard's show.
We never had a chance to nitpick that game, did we?
Right.
Uh-oh, Dan Conley, watch out.
Why, did you not show up either?
After the season's over, I was done. That's it.
Wow.
I get canned.
It really is Nitpick Tuesday.
I get canned as soon as
John watched the
I don't
TV
even have a chance.
Night.
He's been waiting 9 months to get
to talk
this.
About the Jets game.
I know.
Brady missed all kinds of open receivers in that game.
I mean, that screen pass, terrible.
It's awful, isn't
just
it?
Just a lazy pass.
Oh, sorry. One of the things, though, that has really changed, as I know you guys are very much aware, is the fact that our digs, our surroundings, everything is, you know.
Well, from a pro, what do you think?
It's almost as if a bunch of little radio guys went out and made little radio studios.
Yeah.
And, you know.
There's three shows going to be going on
I know.
At once.
You know what happened?
What?
Kevin actually built all the studios himself.
Did you, Kev?
He did.
Kevin, I'm very impressed.
Well, I'm here at 4 a.m. every day, so
that's true.
I have a lot of extra free time.
That's true. Make sure you tell that to Fred, right?
Yeah.
Fred
always
he understands
does.
All of that. I know.
He's tutoring my kid in math.
But we have ESPN Boston next door.
Yeah.
And EEI's here. They've got another studio over here.
Right.
And we're sitting here as well. So
and you've worked for all three of these, right?
I've worked for all of them.
Yeah.
And yeah. So what does that tell you now?
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be
diverse.
A
you're versatile.
You try. So, you know, today's the day where I think we sort of reacquaint ourselves.
Yeah.
I want to say hello to the fans that have been loyal playbook followers. Welcome in
strippers.
Newcomers. Strippers is good people.
Oh, you don't call him an a-hole?
No, not anymore. We had a little tiff a couple of years ago. We're all good with that now.
A little tiff now.
Right up until
Oklahoma, Texas.
Oklahoma, Texas.
No, he doesn't have any worries about that this year. Oklahoma will kill Texas.
I saw you in a little bit
sucky,
of a struggle
sucky,
with
sucky.
Rice over the weekend.
You know, the funny thing about that game was on the Longhorn Network, you know, which is only seen by about three people nationwide now. But if you have Verizon Fios, which Gillette Stadium does.
Yeah, you still won't be able to get it.
Probably not, right?
You're going to be here every game day?
No.
I have all I can do to get the
But I have to stay nice to my ex-wife because she has Verizon Fios.
Oh.
I don't. I have DirecTV.
She got the Fios.
She got Fios.
Yeah, she got the Fios.
She got the Fios. She got the Fios.
That was good. Maybe it's afraid to make light of tragedy.
And that's all she got.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So.
All right. Well, John Rook's coming up at 2 o'clock to start, to kick off the playbook with John Rook. It's only one. I wanted to read one couple more emails. Bill Jones says, now we can't stream any PFW. Well, that's because we cut you off.
That means you got to bring the music down, Kev.
Right. And then Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Andy, you said good music is the music that sounds good. Brilliant analysis, Einstein.
You earlier, don't think that, you idiot. You like what people tell you to like.
Earlier, I wished 1,000 Dagmar phone calls on you, and he immediately showed right up. It was spooky. Hey, how'd you like my interstate by proxy flip-off via Kevin? Pretty cool, huh? Just like Seinfeld. Loser. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, John Rook is coming up next. We got a ton of emails we didn't get to. He will. And, of course, the phone call is at 508-290-0398. And then at 4 o'clock, Pete Shepard starts off with his show. We'll see you tomorrow, remember. We start regular season. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
Can't you, Joe Hijimi? Oh, yeah.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.